Hello there. This is How to Die Alone. Hey guys, it's the How to Die Alone podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Stephen Henry. With me, as always, David Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
With me, not as always, Matt Williams. He's fucking gone again. He's moving and stuff. And our special guest this week, the one and only, Identity Tampa Bay's Clark Brooks.
Finally, on the How to Die Alone podcast. It's been forever.
Yeah.
And, I felt like I was being shunned for some reason.
Well, we had your cinematographer and film production team in here. We had Santos and Jacobs. And,
well, yeah, I'm thinking if those two guys made it on, then how am I not making it on? Yeah.
I don't know.
We're ageists.
No, I'm kidding.
No, suddenly I feel like Steve Bix.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, that's not
about good. The only way you would.
we like to usually generally be the oldest people in the room.
So. Well, that's not going to happen when I'm around.
I know. That's been pretty consistent.
I know, that's why.
We had Jarrett on. And
I think Steve Miller was probably the only other one that was older than us we had.
Yeah, because I think Marie was younger, too. Oh, Patrick Welsh is old.
Yeah, what's Marie, like 15?
So. She just turned like 22.
22.
I was like,
ridiculous.
Yeah. It's the worst when they're young and they're actually good at something.
Like, oh, I know.
Just stop.
I know.
Like, why do you got to be good at shit? Like, fucking Cam.
I'm a huge fan of Marie's. I really like her fearless attitude. I'm big fan of that.
Now, why do you say fearless? I saw you post about this.
She was making abortion jokes while she was going through that. And just to put that out there as material.
What do you mean? She was going through an abortion? Like on stage?
Well, no, not on stage. That's a very specific club you have to go to for that.
Very avant-garde one-woman play going on there.
DNC stand-up.
Right. I'm not outing her by saying this. I mean, she's letting it know it'd be common knowledge, but she recently underwent an abortion. And basically at the same time she was doing it, she was also doing jokes about it.
Yeah.
I just think that's brave. I don't think a lot of people would do that. I think that's admirable. You know, everybody talks about you have to get up there and not have any fear. Well, she demonstrates that. I think that's admirable.
Well, I mean, I think you forget Ben Folds 5, man. He was willing to talk about his girlfriend's abortion in the song.
Well, that's brave so of him, too. Yeah. I'll take Marie Williams over Ben Folds anytime. So.
Ben Folds 5.
Such a classic song.
Yeah.
I don't even know what song it is. What's
Brick?
Brick?
Yeah.
Oh my god! Why would you name it that? That sounds horrible.
Because it's heavy.
Yeah, it's very
such
heavy.
A heavy topic.
Yeah, but you get when you get an abortion, there's just going to be a fetus there.
That's it was
like
so
a
rough.
Brick. It's just going to be an inanimate object. Like that's horrible. You know what I mean? Like that's where my head goes because I'm
I've never equated fetuses with bricks before.
And then
but,
you can use that fetal brick to like bash open a car window and save a live child.
Yeah.
Just another fetus in the wall.
That's right. Or hold a door open. You know, you prop it open.
A doorstop fetus.
Yeah, a doorstop.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know why my brain went to that. It's just like brick. I'm just thinking, that's horrible. Why
it's
would
just practical, though. You're just looking for practical uses for this inanimate object now. Yeah. So why not?
I think it's more like a basketball thing. You took a shot and it bricked.
Oh, you know what it's I mean? A miss, yeah. We tried, but we couldn't.
You got it in the net and it bounced out.
My go-to would have been Halloween decorations, but... You know, you put a little cute costume on it, maybe, and stick it in the window.
It looked like Hansy. You make it like a Hansy doll.
Yeah. Put it in a pumpkin, maybe on the front step. Oh, adorable.
Yeah. You put it. Whoa. I would put it at the bottom of one of those take-your-own-candy bowls.
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to take them all? You're going to take all the candy?
No.
A real Sour Patch Kid at the bottom.
Kid reaches in there like, this is not fun size. I think I found something good. Oh, no! It's a fetus. Or a brick.
Oh, or a brick. Yeah. I don't know. That was just... I don't know why my mind went
feels
there.
Feels like one of those really damp circus peanuts.
Wait.
Damp circus peanuts.
I haven't even heard the song. Does he explain why she's getting an abortion?
Because she fucked Ben Folds? I don't know.
Yeah.
She was like...
Now I feel like
I don't know.
I
just assume...
Song.
Well, I just assume people get those because like, they can't afford to take care of a child. You know what I mean?
Or they don't want one.
There's lots of reasons. Health risks, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
All kinds of things. For that whatever reason, it's just not going to work out. So,
if you're libertarian enough because you don't want to put them through public school, you know, like that sort of completely rational behavior.
Which is humane, you know, if you look at some public schools.
Oh,
Yeah.
Mm.
Abortion up top, I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, way to go, Marie Williams.
Yeah.
Basically what we're trying to say.
Good job. So. I didn't even know that. I just thought she was just doing jokes.
She's killing it on stage and off. She's
killing it on stage and off.
I mean, I talk about masturbation, but I don't do that.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't expect her to be doing that if she's talking about it. You know
what do you mean you don't do
her that? Her body, her rules, man.
You definitely masturbate, David. Don't
no, I don't. Stage. I just talk about it on stage. It's an act, Stephen. That's not really what
you
I
you
do.
You don't really. It's too uncouth for David.
I'm celibate.
You're celibate to the point where you don't masturbate?
Yeah, not by choice.
Wow.
What do you mean?
I respect the commitment.
My dick doesn't work. It was a hard time.
No, or it's not.
It doesn't have a hard time. Yeah, that's the problem. No.
This is all very sad.
See, I think that's the brave thing. You're admitting to having a broke dick. Like,
well, I guess that's the bravest thing a man can do, I guess. I don't
yeah.
know. As far as, like, coming to self stuff.
I mean, like, if you admitted to, like, feeling bad about killing people in wartime, that'd probably be a pretty man shit thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, if you're, like, in war and battle, I mean, you're doing shit. But this is just something, like, with my own body.
Yeah.
That's probably the bravest thing I could do, I think. I don't know, as a man.
Yeah.
Is to admit that he has ED.
Yeah.
David, whereas, like, a woman, you know, but still, that's similar because they're, like, taking a life. That's crazy.
And both of them can be solved by medicine.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
I could take pills.
I feel like I want to give you some money. I'm not going to do it, but I feel like I feel want to.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's the thought that counts.
You're a Republican now?
Yeah. Well, you know, seems to be the trend.
Nah, I'm just fucking. I feel like I want to help you. I'm not going to do it.
Not going to do it, but...
I don't want society to do it, but I'll tell you how charities frequently do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to.
I'm not going to do that. You need to pull your penis up by its own bootstraps. That's what you need to do.
Yeah. It's condom straps.
Right.
Boy, your condom doesn't have straps on?
Yeah.
Like a band hat?
Like a band hat? Is that what you said?
Yeah, like a marching band helmet.
Keep it on. Yeah. Yeah.
Like a chin strap you put around your balls.
A little toy soldier.
That would be so cute at Christmas time.
Yeah. The nutcracker.
Nutcracker.
Yeah, a little nutcracker fuzzy.
Oh, it's adorable.
What are those hats called? Those British guards wear them, don't they?
Oh. Yeah, the fuzzy tall hats. Yeah. British guard hat.
They're called something, I'm sure.
The Marge Simpsons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Marge Simpsons.
Yeah.
That's so silly.
That'll be sad in one episode if her hair gets ED.
What would she even look like if the hair was down?
Well, they do it in flashbacks sometimes. She has the hair down.
Oh, that's true. The long hair back when she was a teenager.
And it's jarring to look at because it's not even close to the same person.
Really? I haven't seen that.
Well, yeah.
How does she keep it up with that?
It's also a little arousing.
This is why I'm missing Matt Williams, right?
Oh, yeah, we need
Simpson. That would be like, actually, in season 12, episode 8.
13 seconds in, or 13 minutes in, blah, blah, blah. Fucking Matt.
Everybody loves Matt.
Do they?
Well, they say they do. That's the thing to say, so... It's like picking on a fetus pick on Matt.
Matt's a good support character. I like him.
He's a good support character.
Yeah.
He's big in Pensacola, though. You know, they love him in Pensacola, from what I can tell.
Do they?
Hometown. Yeah, when he goes back, it's a big deal.
He's one of five comics there.
Yeah. In the Pensacola scene. He's the JB Ball of Pensacola.
I'm pretty sure that's JJ. I'm pretty sure JJ is the JB Ball of Pensacola.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's true. Because he's black.
No, I mean, because he's more way more popular than that.
Right.
Yeah. JB, he doesn't even live here anymore.
Nope.
No, he left.
Yeah, he's gone.
Our scene's dwindling.
By the time
yeah, but there's more. I see more new guys showing up.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, I know. I sit back, like, I'll be at the mic, and like the new crop coming in, and I'm like, you guys are younger, hungrier.
By the time I got to see JB, he was doing the sit down shit that you do. Well, you used to do.
Yeah, I don't do that no more, but.
Cam was the first
one. Dude, I did it for like a month, and everyone's like, oh, you're a sit-down comic now. I was like, no, it's just something I was trying. And
Big gay oak or something.
Yeah, that's
can't
what
do it. Can't do it, man.
No. Well, it's...
That stool's there for a prop.
Yeah.
That stool's there strictly for humping.
Yeah. For humping or holding your water bottle or your phone. That's it.
Or your notes.
Yeah.
Set list. No, I stopped doing it honestly because Ricky Hicken said, dude, you shouldn't be sitting down. I was like, I feel comfortable doing it. He's like, yeah, but he's like... How many hosts do you know sit down?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that's true. He's like, you can't.
How many
headlines? Can't start a show. And just, well, headlining is one thing. You can if you're a headliner because
if you're Bill Cosby.
Well, I mean, Big J does it. That's kind of where he got it from.
Oh, okay.
And Patrice used to do it. So Patrice it was like a big guy thing where it's like you sit down gotcha. So you're not so abrupt to the audience and let them kind of come to you like a like a deer
kind of thing. It's kind of a necessity of poor health kind of thing.
Yeah, that might be it too. Standing for 45 minutes is probably hard.
Yeah. I think B.B. King plays guitar sitting down. He's like one of the only ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, when he was alive.
When he was alive, yeah. Well, he's probably doing it in hell.
He's probably reclined.
He's a lazy boy now.
I used to work at the Sundome.
And, no, it's hell, so he's on a recumbent bicycle.
Oh, why is he in hell? Seems like a nice man.
He's playing the devil's music. I mean,
when I worked at the Sundome, we had B.B. King come, and he stayed on his bus until showtime, and basically left his bus, went to the stage, played, and immediately went back to his bus. Never went to the dressing room. Just as little time upright as possible.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Some people know
how
to live.
How old was he at that point? Yeah.
Well, this was like 10 years ago, so he had to be in his, I don't know, he died like 90s or something, right? So
yeah.
He had to be in his 80s or late 70s.
Yeah.
He was in bad health.
He'd been doing that for a long time when he was alive.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah.
The weirdest to me is seeing people play keyboards stand up at concerts. Like, I'm like, that's
you're
a
not fooling
instrument.
Anybody. Yes, you're supposed to sit down.
Yeah.
Take advantage of that.
Yeah, the rock shows, though, they'll just be up there like hitting the keys and then it's like, the rest of the time, woo! Well, just like screaming. It's like, dude, what are you doing? You're pressing play on your Nokia and just letting it.
One of the two keyboards.
Nokia. I meant like a Sony.
Casio.
That's,
there you go. I gotcha.
Unless you're like Jerry Lee Lewis and you kick the stool out from behind you. And like, yeah, that's badass.
Whole lot of shaking going on. Yeah.
Then you can be a badass pianist. But
yeah. Then you can bang a 12-year-old.
She was 13.
Well, okay. Cut him some slack.
They got married when she was 13, but I think
and it was in
it
the
was
South.
A different started. Time.
And yeah. It was his cousin.
Well, you know the old dad joke about that, like the guy that...
Goodness gracious, great balls of cream pie.
Yeah.
Oh.
The hillbilly marries some girl, and the day after his honeymoon, how's it go? The dad says, how was it? He goes, oh, dad, I had to leave her. She's a virgin. He goes, good call, my son. If she wasn't good enough for her family, she's not good enough for ours.
Oh, man. God. I haven't heard of that. I'm living
you should do that on stage.
Virginia.
I think that's a street joke.
No, do it on stage.
I'll do it on stage anyway. Yeah.
There's a lot of comics that do street jokes on stage.
Oh, no kidding. So
that's how...
it's an epidemic.
It's how you eat around here.
Mm-hmm.
Eat it.
Yeah. No, people, they'll get... They'll crush, man, and I'm just like, it's like you want to hate the audience, and like you know what the comic's doing, you get it, but you're like,
I find the best jokes start with a man does blah blah blah, like those are the best jokes, like you know a man walks into or a man with
those,
his wife,
yeah.
Like well now I know it's related to you and your story and your perspective.
Well, I've seen people take street jokes and just apply it to themselves, you know.
Yeah.
The worst gig I ever did was at a retirement home in Bradenton last summer.
Dirt.
Yeah, this was on a Wednesday afternoon, 3 o'clock in Bradenton at a retirement.
It's like midnight there.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they were like, "Let's wrap it up. The buffet is closing." And I went down there and I went through like 30 minutes of material in 15 because they just hated me. They hated everything I did, and I tried to be as you know bland as possible, but with original material.
Mm-hmm.
So I get done early, and I sit down, and the activities director says, well, since we've got some extra time, anybody want to tell some jokes? And this old lady got up there and told a joke that started like, a man goes into.
Oh, yeah.
And the place exploded.
Oh, yeah.
And this old lady turned around and looked at me and goes, that's how it's done.
No.
She did.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wait, was she like one of the members
one
of
the people
home?
In the audience, yeah, because I sat down.
Well, that's another thing. They're like, one of us. One of us.
That's why you never led the audience on stage.
They're like, they see you up there. They're like, look at this young fucking arrogant bastard.
Right.
Like, get up.
This young.
Yeah.
I'm disappointing them like one of their grandchildren.
Exactly.
You know? And then she gets up there with a street joke and just destroys the room with one joke.
God.
And then I get it shoved in my face on top of it. I'm like, this is the most horrible thing ever. I can't wait to get back to Tampa and tell all my friends.
No, I would have been like, I have to kill this woman now. That's the only way for me to get rid of her. You just pick up a chair right to her back.
I had a guy roll out.
To kill her, and she's already dead in her sleep.
I had a guy roll out in the middle of my set on his mobility scooter. Like, he just gave me the scowl and just drove off in the middle of my set.
He did a burnout in the middle of your set. No, fucking little rascal.
I didn't walk him. I rolled him.
Oh, dude, that's a great story. Did you tell it on stage?
I have told it on stage before.
That is great. Just say that. I didn't walk, so I rolled them.
Yeah, seriously. When it was so bad, I was thinking, this is going to be a great story for all the other comics. I can't wait to tell it.
Dude, that is insane.
It's got to feel good that they came to see you and their kids don't come to see them.
Well, when they... Yeah, exactly. When I was lining up the gig, I asked, I said, what kind of place is this? He said, well, it's not like an assisted living facility. They're active. They get out and do stuff. And I thought, oh, it's the kind of place where they play volleyball and go to baseball games and stuff. No, it's pretty much an assisted living facility. They were, like, propped up in chairs and, you know, barely cognizant of the fact that I was standing there. And the ones that were cognizant hated me.
All you had to do was go up there and just do, like, I don't know, some, like, Carson jokes or something.
Jokes they told in elementary school. You know, that kind of stuff is what they liked.
When I worked in an assisted living facility for a while. I know, I'm a hero. And when I worked there, I worked in the kitchen. Yeah, patting myself on the back. Quite good about it.
Listen, that's a valuable service, though. I mean, those places need to exist, but God, I couldn't do it.
No, it's miserable.
Yeah.
They're like, so once a month, they would do this thing where, like, they would give the old people booze.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would
be alcohol?
You'd get, like, one beer or one shot or
special
one cup of wine. And so there's this guy, Bud, or whatever, like, this old veteran.
His name's Bud.
Yeah, his name is Bud. I didn't ask for,
they used to call people that, like, unironically back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he ordered a beer, and then he chased it with a glass of milk. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh. Did he, like, chug the beer?
Want an upset stomach. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's like milk with magnesium right there.
Yeah, that's asking for trouble at any age.
I was like, what do you want? Do you want, like, a juice after this? He's like, no, get me a milk. I'm like, no, that does not sound wise. He's like, I asked for it.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Dude, if I was those guys, like, what was it, like, once a month, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would, like, save up, like, for 6 months, the beers, and just, like, and then that we can just chug six of them.
Just go on a bender in the ALF. Oof.
That'd be fun.
Well, that was the thing. Like, towards the end of my grandma's life, we went and let her just go hard on drinking. Like, we would go out for, like, breakfast or like, brunch, and she'd be like...
Mimosas.
Yeah, no, not mimosas. She would just be like, give me two shots of vodka neat.
And there
just,
you
like,
go.
She would just, like, drink vodka at the table, and it's like, give me another double. And we'd be like, okay.
That's how you go out.
It's like, you're fucking 90. Yeah. Who gives a shit?
Right, exactly.
Vodka and eggs go...
I'm going to start smoking.
It's not like you're driving. Like,
yeah.
Vodka and huevos rancheros. Delicious combo right there.
Yeah, vodka.
No, it's smart, yeah.
That's really the only advantage.
My grandma did that. My grandma, she had triple bypass surgery twice for, like, you know, smoke on her heart for, like, smoking and shit. And she still was like, fuck it, and smoked, like, a pack a day. I'm like, low tar, like, six. She's like, they're low tar. I'm like, yeah, grams, that's helping, you know. Still lived to be, like, 80-something.
That's the prize for getting that old, is you get to do whatever you want, and nobody can say anything.
This girl my ex-wife knew, we would go to her house, and she was, like, living with her uncle, I guess she said, like, her great-uncle, and he had, like, severe Alzheimer's. Like, he was completely gone. Mm-hmm. Like, he would just sit and watch cartoons all day and shit like that, and he was, like, probably 80 or 90. He used to be in a biker gang, which was interesting. But the thing that was really fucked up is this girl was, like, you know, like a butch lesbian.
Uh-huh.
And he would be like, he would hit on her and be like, oh, you're pretty hot, and come over here. Like, you're a sexy boy with them tits. And I'm like,
what?
He would just, like, try and grab her. And I was like, this is horrific, because, like, you know, it's like your great uncle.
But that's low-risk flirting, though, because nothing's going to come of it, so...
Well, she had to, like, fight him off several times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But he doesn't know, though, right?
No, he doesn't know, because his brain's just mush.
Oh.
Yeah, he doesn't know it's his niece, or not
like, his great-niece, or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I mean, even so, I mean, he's probably still getting really aggressive, but if he used to be in a biker gang, that was probably normal back then.
I just loved it, though, because, like I said, she had, like, the short butch haircut and shit, and he was like, oh, look at those tits. You're a sexy little boy, aren't you? And I'm like, what?
And he would try to grab her.
He would try to grab her. Dude. So she would have to, like, walk behind her, her, live her with great them? Aunt. Yeah. She has to, like, walk behind her great aunt as, like, a wall to get away from this creepy old guy.
Oh, my God.
Who wanted her boy boobs.
What was the aunt doing?
She just lived there. She was just cooking weed brownies and stuff.
That's what he does. That's how he occupies himself.
Oh, man.
Everybody else is in the activity room doing puzzles.
He's
hitting on his niece.
Well, because, he had, like, reverted to, like, a teenager.
Right.
And it was really fun, though, because they were like, oh, we got a... Oh, I think we've got a call coming in.
Oh, my God. This is the first
call?
Yeah. Here on a historic occasion.
Hello?
Is this the How to Die Alone podcast?
I believe it is. Is this Mr. Steve Miller?
This is.
I've heard of you. I hear you have beef with one of our guests.
I do have beef. Are we on right now?
We are on right now. Can you hear us okay?
You guys sound great. First of all, I want to say thank you for having me back on. It's always a pleasure chatting with you gentlemen.
Anytime.
And I'd like to say thank you to the How to Die Alone podcast for having the courage to tackle the difficult debate. We live in a time where this country is incredibly polarized, and the fact that you guys are willing to take on the hard topics, I, for one, certainly appreciate it. And before we jump too far into this, I'd like to say is also that I respect Clark Brooks both as a writer and as a comedian and as a human being. But he's clearly a fucking idiot.
Is this a prepared
all the respect? All the respect just shined right through right there. Well, first of all, let me just say I'm offended that you've had Steve Miller on twice before I got on here once. That's one thing.
Well, but, the second time happened concurrently with you.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But Steve's claim that navel oranges are superior to nectarines is just fundamentally flawed. So I don't even know why you have to defend the nectarine. The nectarine is the best fruit ever invented by science.
Do you have it? Okay. I don't think David's weighed in on this. Let me just get David's take real quick.
What the fuck's an orange?
Thank you.
No, wow. Exactly. Or a nectarine. I don't know. No. Is this, what are these? Are these vegetables?
Well, you can't ask Steven to weigh in because Steven's going to nominate an apple for crying out
loud. Do I look like I eat fruit? No.
Steve, I feel like we should put the whole fruit debate behind us and focus on the things we share in common, like the nation should do.
Clark, I want you to stop ducking me. That's what I want. you have whacked this hornet's nest, and now you want to walk away and pretend as if you did not. And I personally don't appreciate that. If you're going to be a bomb thrower on social media, I feel like you're going to have to own up to it.
I'm not afraid to defend my position. I just feel like I don't have to. So,
Fair enough. Your statement is simply that nectarine is a superior fruit. I would like to point out that I am having this this phone call while eating a navel orange, something you cannot do with a nectarine unless you're on Bluetooth, which would make for terrible audio, so you can't do it. Furthermore, the nectarine is grown in California, which they shouldn't be growing produce in at all because it's a desert, and it is contributing to drought conditions, contributing to global warming, whereas the navel orange is grown natively here in Florida, also in Brazil and other places. So as a supporter of eating locally and supporting local economies, I'll continue to support the navel orange. And furthermore, yes, the nectarine is without a doubt delicious. It may be the most delicious fruit, but that does not make it the best fruit. Usain Bolt may be the fastest man on earth, but that doesn't mean he's going to be the best wide receiver. It's about balance and attributes and qualifiers. Fruit is about more than flavor. It's about what you get from it and the experiences you have while enjoying it. So while, yes, I may concede the point that the nectarine is superior in terms of flavor, I cannot share a nectarine with my dog. However, I can share a delicious wedge of navel orange with him, and there's something about those moments of bonding that mean more to me than pure self-indulgence, Clark.
Wow, somebody either has access to Wikipedia or is in the pocket of Big Orange or both. That sounds bought and paid for to me. You and your fascination with navels.
This is my blatant pitch to be in the pocket of Big Orange. I'll be in the pocket of Big anyone if they're willing to pay.
Yeah.
So your next YouTube character can be, or your next GIF character can be... Orange Steve.
It's Tropicana, not Tropicannot. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love it. Clark, you know I love you. And
you know the feeling is mutual.
I still...
I mean...
I still resolutely stand behind Honeycrisp apples. They're by far the best.
See,
fruit.
There you go. You know.
Well, okay.
And John Selman's a grapefruit.
You're like the Bernie Sanders of fruit debates here.
No, I'm going to say Jill Stein. Bernie had some reasonable.
Oh, there you go. Points. Yeah, that's more valid.
What about the banana?
The banana? No.
David.
That texture. Look, delicious on its own, but still not doesn't hold up.
You can put it in cereal.
Tailpipe.
You can put it on ice cream.
Who just said you could put it in cereal? Tell me, who?
David.
David. Of course David said you could put it in cereal and ice cream. David, that's the problem. If the banana was good, you would just eat the banana. But you just said you could put it on ice cream. And I have a feeling that you would put just about anything on ice cream.
Including cereal. Yeah.
David just puts more ice cream on ice cream.
That's right.
Oh, fuck. So good.
Jesus. What has happened?
I love you guys. I'm going to let you get back to your conversation. Thank you for letting me call in. I will never forgive Clark for this. Our friendship has been ruptured forever, and him and I were supposed to be doing shows in October at Stafford and Palm Harbor.
Uh-oh.
And we'll see if that happens. I hope it can happen. Ooh. I hope it can happen. You know, if Clark's willing to apologize on social media and admit that he was wrong, then we can move forward.
Yeah, it's definitely got to be a public apology.
Be sure to listen to the show once it's posted so you can hear all the nice things I say about you after you hang up.
I love you guys, man. Have fun.
Bye, Steve.
Bye, Steve.
Bye.
All right. See you guys.
Yeah, Steve very graciously invited me to be part of his shows at Snappers in October as
what
feature
part?
Act.
Oh, wow.
Feature, yeah. Nice. I've never done that room before either, so that'll be fun.
You've never done it at all?
Never been to there.
I've only
recently acquired dependable transportation that could get me to places like Palm Harbor from Tampa, so there's a whole new world out there for me to explore.
Oh, yeah.
With mics and everything.
Yeah.
So
that's how we got you here.
I might go to Iberian Rooster.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Iberian's fun.
It's an interesting room.
Yeah. If you get up early.
It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. It's got a speakeasy vibe to it, which is what they're going for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I like it a lot.
It's the kind of place you can go and say it's your first time and get a whole article written about you.
Right.
Yeah.
You think that guy was lying?
I don't know.
Oh.
I wasn't even there that night.
I wasn't there either.
I could recognize a lot of people they were talking about without naming them.
Yeah.
Like, again, Marie's joke in there, and then Tommy Gill was clearly there.
Yeah.
And they quoted John Jacobs, but they also listed a joke that was clearly something John Jacobs says all the time.
Yeah. So. But they listed our podcast.
Yeah, that was nice.
Which was weird, because I'm like, I wasn't even there, and I don't think Steve was there. I don't know who the hell told him about our podcast.
It might have been. It had to be Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm amazed we got a mention with Matt performing.
Yeah, well, not only that, I liked it because it said there's a lot of podcasts, but then they mentioned ours, and I was like, yes!
Well, people would know there were a lot of podcasts if they'd read the article in The Identity a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's true.
So thanks, Tampa Bay Times, for jumping on the bandwagon after.
Yeah, look at that. They're stealing. You're trying to steal your thunder and shit.
Well, have you noticed they posted two articles in a week on stand-up comedy?
After
all
you
of a sudden, after we started this,
and I'm
so
surprised that they even talked to John Jacobs after he went in there and like
just schooled those bitches.
Yeah, they wouldn't even talk to him. He's like, "Come on, trying to say he's not real news. What is that?"
Dude? Yeah, that's ridiculous.
TNF is the only news source I listen to.
I know. I got to get the little sticker for my car, so people know that I'm down.
That's right,
with the cause.
Yeah, I mean that. I have to say that takes a cake. Is the worst thing to happen in a news office this year. By far. I'm just kidding.
Oh, God.
How long do you think the paper's even going to be around? Much longer.
Hopefully not much.
I picked it up the other day. The sports page was literally 3 pages.
Really?
Yeah.
That used to be like 6.
I know.
When I was in Oklahoma, they had papers like at this barbecue joint that were like 75 cents. I'm like, who the fuck is spending 70?
Yeah.
Well, in smaller towns like that, maybe. But, I mean, I don't know. With I heard, like, even
there's no news in Oklahoma.
Yeah, but even like the New York Times, which used to be like a really, highly regarded journalist centric, the true story shit is even going way of like clickbait headlines type shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you doing? Are you guys just grasping at straws at this point?
I find
out of a dying industry? Like, it has to be it.
I found myself behind a truck one night late leaving downtown delivering newspapers, and I thought, how much of what's in that truck is already out of date? Even on the stands yet. It just serves as something like you read the headline and then go Google what's really going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get up-to-minute fucking updates on your phone, whereas that's like, Oh, the story? Yeah,
it was printed that when they printed it six hours ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, that's kind of the worst part about it, though, is, like, the social media ones that come out, like the kid with the baseball, the foul ball or whatever, that turned out he wasn't a bastard.
Yeah, well, I don't even know what that is. What happened?
Like, some guy caught the ball, and, like, it became, like, this viral thing of just, like, fuck that guy, he stole this ball from this kid, but he gave the kid the ball back.
Yeah, well, there's a video, it happened at a Cubs game, and a foul ball, coach tosses it, and the kid drops it, and it rolls under his seat behind him, and the guy behind him picks it up and hands it to his girlfriend. And everybody's like, whoa, what a monster. It was clearly meant for that kid. Why is he keeping the ball? What a jerk. And, you know, how dare he? And they just trashed him. And then it turned out he'd already caught, like, three balls that game and given them one to that kid that didn't get one and, like, other kids in the vicinity. And the ball that he gave to the woman looked at it for a second and then wound up handing it to another kid. So they
But they don't show any of that.
They don't show that, yeah. So people just responded to the 3 seconds of video they saw of this guy picking up a ball and handing it to a woman and thought, he's clearly a war criminal.
Dude, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely ISIS. That's perfect. Like, that's almost like a perfect analogy of what the state of, like, our society is right now.
That'd be like if everyone's perception of sex was just the money shot. Like, look at his face. He looks like a fucking monster.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Look at him.
All contorted. Yeah.
Look how he furrows his brow.
Yeah, what's wrong with that guy?
He's got a serial killer face on.
Luckily, people that were sitting in that guy's section came to his rescue on Twitter. Like, you people don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I was sitting next to the guy. I saw him do all these amazing things on behalf of children.
Yeah, and I'm sure
it's like trashing Santa Claus.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think people are just mad at him because he was at a baseball game. It was probably on like a weekday. They're like, "Fuck this guy! I'm in your office, and you're over there at a Cubs game on a Tuesday, you dick."
Well, a friend of mine mentioned, like, why do the coaches throw foul balls to the people sitting in the first two rows anyway? They've already got the best seats in the stadium. Throw it up to some kid in the bleachers.
Yeah, but they don't throw their arm out before they go in the game. They just, like, heave up to the fucking upper deck and the pitcher blows his
You've already got ACL. Some 8-year-old sitting in the front row at a baseball game and he gets a ball on top of it. Like, how privileged is that little piece of shit?
Yeah. Or, sorry, not ACL's rotator cuff. That's what I meant. I was like, his leg has got his leg out. Could happen.
He's in the special league. He has to do handstands to play the game, and he's throwing the ball with his feet. Like,
that would be amazing if someone could do that.
There should just be a wood chipper there, sponsored by like a lawn maintenance company. You just throw the foul balls into the lawn. Nobody gets a foul ball.
Just right,
just goes into the wood chipper. Yeah, here, look, kids.
Just like stare intently at a little kid as you drop them in there.
Just cut to them on the jumbotron as they're crying.
And then a Home Depot logo comes up on the screen. Like
the paint cam.
This brought to you by Home Depot.
This moment ruined by
Home Depot. Yeah.
Sadness cam.
Yeah. I love baseball too, man.
This moment brought to you by Crushing Ennui.
Yeah.
Scots. I don't know. They always Scots for like the lawn and shit.
I don't think Scots is around anymore, are they? Oh, you're talking about
the lawn care products.
Yeah. I thought you meant, like, the store, Scotty's or whatever.
No.
That's been gone.
Yeah. They're down to, like, two stores.
Every baseball stadium is sponsored by Scott's, or there's probably another one.
I think it's a Major League Baseball thing.
Yeah. Don't, like, League-wide. We treat our grass with this. I don't know if you do. Because I use that shit, and my grass looks nothing like this outfield.
You know what? I got a plant recently, and I went to Lowe's to get potting soil for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you want to get this? This is brand new. And I'm like, you have new dirt? How is there such a thing as... I'm literally older than dirt. No, like, how is there new dirt at this point?
There's babies older than dirt at that point.
Yeah, though. No kidding. You can't make new dirt.
We invented this new dirt out of thin air.
It's bioengineered dirt.
Yeah. GMO dirt. Yeah.
Organic, free-range dirt.
People in filthy lab coats.
You think they just, I don't know, it's probably, you know, they add, like, nitrates and all that shit to it. That's probably what they meant.
Vitamins, riboflavin.
Electrolytes.
Yeah.
What's plants crave?
Yeah.
Idiocracy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great movie. It's very accurate. Mike Judge is a genius when it comes to, like, predicting the future. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
As far as that goes.
That we're all turning into idiots?
Yeah.
I saw a video online yesterday. It's a, you guys might have seen this, it's... young kids trying to operate a rotary telephone.
No,
I know. And they can't. They can't figure out where to pick up the handset and how to dial the thing. And they don't know whether to pick it up first or whatever. And somebody reacted with outrage, like, this is just proof that the young people are incapable. I'm like, why should they know how to operate that phone?
Yeah, they've never had to.
And they're never going to have to. That's not coming back.
That used to be the toy
phone. Do you know how to use a butter churn? You know?
Exactly. Or like a fucking telegraph.
Well, they should still be able to figure it out. I'm like, you're right. From watching this 2-minute video, yes, the generation coming is doomed and we're all going to die.
Yeah, that's so the thing stupid. Is the generalization.
When the bombs drop and we have to revert to rotary phones.
Right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're
playing. You know how to work a cotton gin? Not all know how to work one of those.
You got three arms. You can't work this thing.
Meanwhile, they're playing games that have more technology than what you have to operate in your real life. So I think we're going to probably be okay from that standpoint because they can't operate a rotary phone. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, we don't need those anymore.
God. You can't find other reasons to hate young people? You have to go on to that? So.
Oh, there's plenty. The youth alone. Just the fact that they're young.
Just the fact that they're not going to die before me.
Yeah, those son of a bitch.
The fact that they get to have those cool games growing up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't have to like blow into their Nintendo cartridges. That's right. You hear me, you fucking children, Jarrett.
Just download instantly right to your phone too in your pocket.
Yeah,
you have it.
I have better games on my phone than on home entertainment systems I used to have. Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, that's the nice thing is I feel like fucking everybody plays games now. Like when I was a kid, it was like a thing. Everyone was like, "Oh, fucking only nerds play games."
Right.
And now it's like. Hey, man, you haven't accepted my Candy Crush invite.
Yeah, they actually say statistically women play games more than men if you count, like, the phone games.
If you count the phone games.
Yeah, like Bubble Witch and fucking...
How can you not?
My girlfriend plays Bubble Witch all the time and Pet Rescue Saga, all this shit. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I gotta save the pets. I'm like, all right. Meanwhile, I'm on the computer playing WoW for 8 hours and I'm a weirdo.
Doesn't she save enough lives?
Yeah, right?
What does your girlfriend do?
She's a nurse.
Oh, wow. Well, cut her some slack. Let her play some games.
Oh, I know. I'm joking. I'm just saying in general.
David's over here providing the best medicine.
Yeah.
I can't get it up.
No, I meant comedy.
Oh, I got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Laughter.
So you're talking about this dick?
Not that punch.
Laughter is therapy.
Yeah, no, that's what they say. The best medicine is laughter. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys see that as your calling as comedians?
What?
Providing laughter to people who otherwise maybe don't have as much access to it?
I mean, that's... Feels
like you're a giver?
Yeah, that's the only reason I'd do it. Well, I don't know. It's kind of a two-way street, but at the same time, it's like, I hate myself, obviously, because I'm, you know, 400 pounds, so I don't give a shit about me. Uh-huh. But as long as the audience is having a good time, then I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then, in the same token, it's like, well, am I doing that truly for them, or is that for me to feel good about myself because I made a room full of people laugh?
Yeah, that's
so. There's no true altruistic like thing to it. It's just like, it's kind of self-serving.
That's the eternal internal debate,
dude. Basically, I know.
Like, why am I doing this?
And then you add the fucking thing of money on top of it. It's like, wait a minute, you're gonna pay me to do something that I've always done my entire life naturally? Right. That's fucking weird.
You're getting paid for it?
No, but I'm saying the next level obviously is to get paid for it, and that freaks me out because I'm like, why are you giving me money to do this? You
know? Right. Yeah.
I would be doing this regardless because any room I go to or any situation, I try to make it fun or
you just
make
crush.
Light of it.
You crush every room.
No, I'm not saying that. But
they hear David coming. They're like,
I don't do well with like morbid things. Like at funerals, I'm like trying to think of ways to make people laugh. And shit. You know what I mean? It's just a natural thing.
How do you react when somebody says, oh, you're so brave for doing what you get? I mean, every comedian gets that. Like, somebody will come up and tell them that they're brave.
I haven't gotten that yet, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. You just imagine David at a funeral leaning over, like, one of the mourning people. It's like, can I just do my type five?
You know, she would have liked it. Yeah. She would be okay with it if she was here to say so.
Just go there and do all dick jokes. Like, that'll go over real well at Game Game's funeral.
Yeah.
She would have wanted it this way.
She's not here to object, so you know, who's to say?
Speaking of forever, hold your peace, Grandma.
Excuse me. Can you guys keep the quiet talking down? We're in a church right now, please.
Yeah.
Bear in mind there's a two-drink minimum at the funeral.
Yeah, they
two
should
drink minimum at the funeral.
You gotta get your
That's a good way to cover expenses, if you think about it. Like, we're having a funeral, but there's a 2-drink minimum.
Yeah, it's a funeral / wake.
Yeah.
There's a Groupon if you want to save some money, but...
You can't get into special
Somebody's
got to
pay for that casket, though. Yeah. I mean, we got to come up with something.
We only pay for half of
it. We can't borrow from Grandma anymore, obviously. So
the Groupons only work for the relatives we didn't really
That's
like.
That's right. Yeah.
The D-list relatives.
Oh, my God.
The ones that flew in from out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Grandpa used to call people colored up until he died? Yeah, you can get the Groupon for that one.
My family's all so far away that it has to be either a grandparent or a parent for me to fly to a funeral. I'm not. If it's a cousin, it's like, oh, I'm not. not worth the road.
I only saw you at family reunions anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even know who you're married to, if you have kids or not, so I'm not going to your funeral.
I think you're in Michigan, right? That's where you're from?
Yeah.
I think
it's not Ann Arbor. Where is it?
It's Benton Harbor.
Yeah. Benton Harbor.
Yeah, a little town about 100 miles from Chicago.
They got a hamburger place named after me.
Yeah, Henry's. Henry's Hamburgers.
Are they good?
They're really good. That they're awful.
Does Henry look like Steven?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of, yeah. A little bit.
Bags are flipping.
You might be able to have a lawsuit. You may be able to sue them.
I'll try.
They were around 50 years before you were born, but worth a shot.
They knew it was coming.
Yeah. Clearly, they knew it was coming.
I could just go in, just start working the restaurant, just like my place.
My name's on it. You're going to tell me to kick me out?
Just walk in there.
Yeah, this is how I'm making them now.
Is with tears of children.
Pineapple upside down burgers.
Tears from children who had foul balls thrown into a wood chipper.
That's right. Yeah. This burger brought to you by Scott's. Grown with like no GMOs or whatever.
Grown with brand new
dirt. It's the grass we grown that had the cow ate this grass, you see. And then now it's grass-fed beef. And
it's a typical Midwestern Rust Belt town where once the manufacturing industry
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, what was like known there? So it was like industrial?
Whirlpool had their headquarters there. Still does, but it's way scaled back.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
It's been bad since the 70s.
Really? It started going downhill then?
Oh, yeah. It was bad when I was there. Like, our downtown was a ghost town, and everything shuttered up. And
why?
Nobody was making any money. Yeah, but they scaled way back, though. Yeah.
Not really.
And then Clark Equipment that makes, like, road graders and bulldozers and stuff, same thing, kind of scaled way back. Stuff. Yeah. So it was just...
Well, I mean, in the industrial age, you know, like, the steel cities, like Pittsburgh and, like, those big, like, you know...
Yeah.
That shit started scaling back now, you know. Now for sure. But I guess, I don't know, in the late 90s when everyone wanted to become like a businessman.
Yeah.
Or late 80s probably.
Yeah, the Coke era.
Yeah, when everyone was on suits and Coke and everyone had Amex and American Express and plastic. I don't need to work in no fucking mill or mine.
Right,
Just, you know.
And all the advertising tells you, you deserve a Mercedes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, and people actually took that to heart. Like, I do deserve a Mercedes.
Well, not only that, the comedy was booming, and then that led to the shit we're in now, kind of.
Right.
I drove a Jaguar on my trip. That was interesting.
When you were in Oklahoma?
Yeah.
How was that?
Dude, awful.
Is that the only Jaguar in Oklahoma?
People just scoffing at you, like, the whole time. They're like, look at this
He's from
prick.
The city.
Yeah.
Well, it was weird, because, like, I stopped at, like, a toll plaza, you know, to pay the toll, obviously. And the engine just shuts off, and I'm like, well, that's weird. Like, did the car die? And, like, my boss was like, no, it does that to save fuel. And I'm like, so, like, every time I'm idling, it just dies?
Like, even at a red light, it just stops?
Yeah.
And then does it notice start back up again by hitting the gas pedal?
And then, like, when you take your foot off the brake, it goes, and just starts back up again.
That's crazy.
It doesn't save fuel at all. Was it a hybrid?
No.
No, when you start a car,
it's when you use the most gas.
Yeah,
my favorite thing about the high end car though is not even that; it's that they have like the individualized thermostats for the AC.
Oh, for each seat?
For each seat, and I'm like, we're all in the same car. We all know this.
It's a very confined space.
Yeah,
you know who would really hate that is those people that hated the rotary phone video. Would really hate that.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like, oh, don't lean stupid to adjust their own thermostat.
Or OCD people.
Don't lean 6 inches to the right. You don't want to come into my climate. What the fuck?
Could you please put
it's that snowing at, over here?
either put it at 70 or put it at 80. Yeah. None of the 73 bullshit.
Yeah,
that's like back in the day when restaurants had smoking sections. Like, this booth is smoking, but this one next to it is a non-smoking booth, so you'll be fine.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And they're literally
like
an inch apart.
The IHOPs they had, we had like plexiglass that kind of separated.
Oh, they did.
Still, yeah, but
keep the animals.
You gotta
on
get
the other
in.
Side.
It's not like windowed off or like walled off. So you just walk around the plexiglass, and it's like that shit's just gonna come out. You know?
Yeah, I'd always see places that had like a basket of fake flowers dividing it or something. Yeah. Like, oh, that should keep out the toxins.
Yeah, the fake flowers are just gonna suck that in,
right, and just smell like that forever. Yeah.
Well, shit, remember when I remember when I was a kid I flew, and you could smoke on planes.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, I flew when I was, like, 4, and I was just like, that's ridiculous. Imagine, like, they still have the no smoking signs on there. It's like, dude, it's 2018, we know.
There was a lady named Nanette next to me on the plane. She wasn't very funny either.
If somebody's smoking on an airplane, you're smoking on an airplane.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like walking to a place like the Hub. Like, I don't smoke, but when I walk into the Hub, I'm a smoker while I'm there, because... That's the atmosphere.
It's like if you're on a plane, like they take the peanuts off, yet people can bring dogs on.
Right.
So, like, if you're allergic to dogs, well, tough shit. You're going to, like, be breathing in fur for
right.
however long you're on that plane.
And you can't feed your dog peanuts while you're on the plane.
No.
So.
Peanut allergies.
You know what's crazy? Thing. I found out there's, like, CBD treats for pets.
Oh, really? Because yeah. they're stressed out?
Yeah. You got to calm them down.
That makes sense, I guess. Why not?
Well, dogs do have, like, terrible anxiety when you're not
yeah. around. Especially this sure. fucking one.
Yeah.
She looks chilled out now, though.
Yeah, she's...
Yeah, but if he leaves, she probably gets really...
She's literally 2 inches from you, too. She's clearly a daddy's girl.
Yeah.
She doesn't care much for me, but she's putting up with me because you're here, so she knows it's okay.
She loves me.
That's good. It's good to have love.
Yeah. At least my dog does.
But you can't have peanuts in an airplane. You might as well have love.
Yeah.
How many people do you think died of peanut allergies before we knew it was a thing? Like, probably back in the day, lot. People just dropped dead, and they're like, I have no idea. He was eating peanuts, and he died. What could that possibly be? He must have choked on it. Yeah, it had to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
People didn't even know they had a peanut allergy, and they would die from it.
They were just like, at the coroner's report, diagnosis, little bitch.
Yeah.
He died on peanuts.
Not suited for this world. Yeah.
Couldn't hack it.
As the coroner smoking a cigarette, little bitch.
Yeah. Eating peanuts.
Like, I saw somebody going on a rant about lactose intolerant. Like, the pioneers weren't lactose intolerant. Like, maybe they were. They used to die for no reason back then. I mean...
If they get diarrhea, they
just didn't know. Yeah.
Well, it's mostly a European thing.
Yeah.
Dysentery.
Like, Europeans aren't really lactose intolerant, but, like, people from Asia and Africa are.
Because they don't drink milk regularly.
Because they don't have cows, most of them.
Yeah, do they even have milk in Asia? Like, no, there's no Chinese food with milk in it, any cheese or anything like that. It's all...
They're not milking the cows, just praying to them.
Just praying to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's...
Well, they have the... what are the Japanese cows?
What do you mean Japanese cows? The Kobe cows?
Kobe cows. Kobe beef, yeah. They have those. Are they just, like, made differently?
In Japan.
Yeah, they just don't take no for an answer.
Oh, you're thinking, like, China and stuff. Yeah. Like, I didn't have anything about that, yeah. Sorry.
That's how the Kobe cows operate.
Just try to keep the racism down. What did you say?
They just don't take no for an answer. That's how the Kobe cows work.
I guess that's true. They're like you're ground beef now. Just like shrugging his shoulders.
Yeah.
Just periodically put different jerseys on it.
Seems like there's a lot going on in Japan for how small that place is. You know what I mean?
Dude, Tokyo is insanely packed.
Yeah.
I mean, you live in
closets. But they still have room on there for farms and such. Yeah. You know, somehow.
They do what is it called?
I hear Rafik went once. Did you know that? Did you hear Rafik say that?
I didn't, but I can see Rafik traveling, because I know he gets around a lot. I'd love to go to Japan. You can get anything you want out of a vending machine in Japan.
Yeah.
I know, sick you get girls' panties. You
yeah.
get crabs.
Lobsters. Yeah, it's crazy.
Crabs on girls' panties.
No, that's going to happen. They do that mountainside farming.
Oh, they do?
With like the irrigation where it flows down. I forget the name of it, but it's like a specific thing.
Yeah.
So it's like easier to irrigate.
We can't even bother to separate our recycling, and they're farming on the side of mountains because they have to.
They got to make room for that space.
You got to work with what you got.
Yeah.
So do you think...
Not us.
No.
Make it work.
Did you think 10 years ago we would have such a divisive issue as straws?
No, probably not. I mean, to some extent, I think it's overplayed when people go, people are looking to be outraged, but it is kind of true. I mean, there are people that are waiting for anything to fight about.
No one should have straws. Everyone should have straws.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be like a national debate at this point. It's like...
I mean, I see both sides of it. I mean,
yeah, but that's the thing. We're rational people. There's people who just like grasp the one thing and
they're grasping at straws. Almost.
They're grasping at straws, literally.
Yeah. Fucking straw grabbers.
Goddamn straw grabbers.
But the argument that, oh, it's hygienic. Well, you're drinking out of a glass anyway. So if the glass is dirty, the liquid that coming up through the straw is dirty. So just drink out of the glass.
Yeah.
But then what about people who need a straw because they're disabled or whatever?
Well, they should have to go through a straw registry process.
They should have to register
high capacity. Straws.
10-day waiting period.
Do you have a straw license?
Good God.
Your high capacity assault straw.
We got to make sure you're not buying this just because you're angry at your drink. So you need a 10-day cooling off period.
We're going to start having drink-ins.
I can't cool off. I don't have my straw. Yeah.
We're going to have drink-ins instead of sit-ins where they go into diners and actually just put straws in the cups and just drink them right in front of them. What are you doing? Get them out of here, you animals.
And then people who feel so strongly to combat it because people are offended by it, they're like literally sticking a straw into a baby turtle just to prove the point. They're aggressively responding in the opposite direction.
Like it's a Capri Sun turtle.
Exactly.
I just imagine the people at the Capri Sun factory have just got to be watching this with bated breath. It's like, we're going to change the whole fucking game, gentlemen. Oh, God,
we could be in serious trouble.
I'm sure they're right now some R&D department. Like, guys, we need something new. These pouches. We've had the pouches for 20 years. We need to switch them.
We need to give them an option like the straw, but it's equally annoying to try and get the straw into the pouch.
So it had to be like a tearaway. Like pouch, kind of like a ketchup packet, where you only try to get just a little bit off the corner, so you have a good amount.
Just a tiny amount.
You just rip half the fucking thing open, and the Capri Sun spills everywhere. Ruined.
Yeah. It comes pre-coated in Vaseline. Yeah.
Stock at the Capri Sun company has been going up nonstop for 30 years, and now all of a sudden just plummets because of the straw.
One little fucking straw issue sends them down. I don't know, those straws are so small, though. Do you think that they would affect the turtles?
In quantity, I mean,
down the throat, maybe.
Whoever drinks one Capri Sun a day, you know?
Yeah. That's true. So. Well, not only that, it's just plastic. It's plastic in general, plastic products.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they get the little cubes or whatever.
I used to work with, he wasn't a turtle, but he came from where turtles were from. This guy, he's from Ecuador.
Oh.
Yeah. And he didn't drink from a straw. And, like, his hot take wasn't, like, I don't like the waste or whatever. His hot take was, straws are gay. So instead, what he would do is he would, like, push down, like, the flaps on the cup.
Oh, yeah. Sissy sticks.
And just suck it through the anus of the cup, basically.
Because that's not gay. That's not gay at all.
I'm just like, we'd go to Chick-fil-A next to work, and I'd just watch him, like, tongue punch a sweet tea for, like, 20 minutes.
That had to be a sight.
Need to get this McDonald's lid starfish going here.
Yeah.
He's just like, and you guys, you're all gay.
Yeah. I remember, like, coming up, kids would be like, it was a sissy stick. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They're like, what, are you worried about smudging your lipstick, cupcake?
I didn't realize how straight you were.
Do you see the people that work in this cafeteria? I don't trust the cleanliness of these glasses.
Right, exactly.
At least the rims.
Right, especially the rim.
I don't know. It's just the idea of putting your mouth against the rim. You know,
it is funny being like an 8-year-old or whatever and even having the idea of sexuality. Like, yeah, he's gay. It's like, is he? Like, because it's not like he's getting it in or anything.
Yeah,
like,
that's all parenting shit, dude. That's like their dad yells at the TV or something about that. And then.
But because like a football player drops a pass, he's like, look at this queer.
Well, no. Or like, let's say they go out as a family to a restaurant and then his dad makes a mark. It's just, that's all it is, man. It's like parenting.
When it was more allowable to use gay as an insult like that. Yeah. It didn't even have anything to do with homosexuality. It was just like, oh, that's gay.
No,
and, you didn't even think about it having anything to do with people. It was just like something to say.
Because at that age, you didn't even like...
It's just a dismissive term.
Yeah, you knew
No, when we called a kid I went to middle school gay, we meant he was gay.
We meant
he sucked dick. Like.
There was this guy, Adam. There was this guy, Adam, that was gay, and then everyone knew it, and then, this is middle school, and then in, like, high school, he's like, guys, I'm gay. We're like, we fucking know.
Yeah.
We're not stupid.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You throw, like, a Sally, and I was like, the signs were there, Adam.
Yeah.
No, I'm just playing, but that's stereotypical. I play basketball with gay guys that are, like, way more athletic.
I don't mean to mince words, but I know you love mincing, so.
Right.
Yeah, so. So yeah, we were bastards about it with that, but like the kid wasn't actually gay, but we were saying he
was.
Yeah,
I mean we used to call things gay all the time, and it had nothing to do with
homosexuality. That's what we did.
It's just like, oh, that's gay.
No, we would do that too, but this one specific kid.
Oh, okay. So y'all just
bullied. Just one hate crime among all the other.
He wasn't gay.
Oh,
so you just bullied him?
Yeah. But he did it back,
you know,
too.
Steven, the thing is, maybe he really wanted to be gay, but because you guys said it so much, right. He's like, I'm going to fucking be straight.
He didn't feel comfortable. You forced him to be straight.
This guy's out here crushing puss now because
I'll show
of
you.
You ruining his childhood.
Mm-hmm. He's having sex with beautiful women and hating every second of it.
We also made fun of him for being poor, which is really fun.
Oh, that's nice.
He's rich. He had the biggest house of everyone.
Which is ironic, because he had a bigger house, and we're like, oh, yeah, he burned CDs. Yeah, he burned CDs to keep his house warm.
So you guys just didn't like this kid. Yeah. Was he a dick?
He was a dick.
Oh, well, he kind of deserved it then.
Yeah.
So he was, like, kind of snobbish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he, like, the... Because every neighborhood has, or every school has, the rich kid who has all the cool toys and, like, the new baseball glove or the... He's form a band.
He's the
guy whose dad buys him brand new, really high-end guitar or something.
I mean, that's the secret. He had a dad. No,
oh, yeah.
Most of us didn't have
that. Everybody hates that kid. I always wonder what happens to him when they grow
up.
Yeah,
you know, I went to high school with a guy that his dad owned, or his family owned, like a car dealership.
Yeah.
So he'd drive like a different like car to school every week. Like, yeah. Came like an H1 Hummer, like a Corvette. I'm like, I'm riding the bus, you know.
I mean, the dealer played.
But he wasn't a dick though. Like,
but it's still hard to root for that kid. Like, no, oh yeah. Gosh, I hope something good happens.
No,
to him
he
someday.
Was cool. Like, there were some rich kids that were really cool, and mm-hmm. you wouldn't even know they were rich.
Like
just hanging out with
whatever
them.
Guy's opposite John Cusack in an 80s movie,
right?
Like yeah. on his yacht and stuff.
Yeah.
Robert but then, Downey but Jr. then there was kids that were like that, and you knew they were, and they rubbed it in your face, and you're like, I hope that kid dies in a fucking forest fire.
Right.
You know what I mean? When are you going camping again? Yeah. Good luck.
Leave your car window down. I'm going to shit all over your driver's seat.
Those people are
I
like,
hope your parents throw you a very expensive funeral.
Yeah. You don't deserve to live.
A lavish funeral.
I mean, that's harsh. They
ass.
Probably do deserve to live. They were just being spoiled kids.
I feel
know.
Like most people don't deserve to live. Is that harsh?
No, right. I think that's probably accurate. I used to work at a hotel in downtown, and it was the hotel where they would put the overflow UT students who they didn't have room for in the dorms. Mm-hmm. And I saw this kid one time in the lobby on the phone with his mom saying, I need a car. Well, I don't care. That's your problem. You figure out how to get it to me. And then hung up on her. And I was like, my dad would have figured out a way to somehow come through the phone line and strangle me if I ever even tried talking to my mom like that.
That's insane.
And you could tell it was just like that's how he communicates with his parents.
No, he would just go to like check in at the hotel and be like, what do you mean the card's declined?
Right, right.
Mom, did you turn off my card?
Mother, this is unacceptable.
Start screaming, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So there's
man.
Those people out there that just think that's the way that their life is supposed to be. And I can't. Even begin to relate
well,
to
see,
that.
Well, see, the thing is, with people like that is...
Those people are cultural.
He was in college, hey, right?
Yeah. UT,
yeah.
Which is
so,
a private school.
The thing is,
so.
Like, that kid's probably never been told no in his life.
No, I'm
so
sure.
So when he gets out of school and applies for his first job and they tell him no, he's going to be 24 years old and not know what
and
the
and not
fuck.
Capable of coping.
Well, yeah, they're going to be like, he's like, what do you mean no? Like, I've done everything I'm supposed to do.
We talked
about
this on the podcast. Like his interactions with girls are going to be the same thing. It's like, what do you mean no?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, what does that word even mean?
That's where bro rape comes.
Yeah.
Like, no, we're doing this. And she's like, no. I said, no. It's like, okay.
Yeah, you're being silly. You're being cool. Yeah. My mom says she's not doing my laundry either. Come here.
Good joke as he takes his pants off.
Yeah.
You
almost got me there.
Or what's worse is he goes for his first job and doesn't get it, is that he just gets a job because of who he is and his dad's connections or whatever,
yeah.
And winds up being in charge
legacy.
Of people, yeah. You know?
His dad just gets the manager that didn't hire him fired.
Right, right. And now he's in charge of people who depend on him to make decisions that keep them employed so they can feed their families.
Maybe
and,
drives the Houston Astros into the ground for
yeah,
a couple
exactly.
years.
It's crazy how it works, dude.
Piece of garbage.
And then it's like that kid is
maybe
now...
Maybe can't make money at an oil company. You know,
right.
Just,
yeah.
Hypothetical examples of a dad getting you in roles where
right, yeah.
But now that kid's in.
Like you get in the Carlisle Group and you just can't make money.
Just can't do it. Just incapable of being a success.
But now that kid's in charge of other people who are actually like
struggling.
But the people that he are in charge of are the ones that work their ass off just to get a scholarship because their parents couldn't afford UT.
Right, maybe, exactly.
Maybe with daddy's money you try to open a casino in Atlantic City and you just can't make any money off it.
Just can't do it somehow. Somehow you lose money owning a casino.
No matter how much you put your name on that building, it's not going to be successful.
What's going to happen to that
so
kid
many
someday?
Hypotheticals.
Yeah. Good God.
Who knows? He could be the leader of a country someday for all I know.
The world's largest army just can't win a war despite his dad putting him in control.
I do a joke about that. Like when they tell you, when you're a kid, they tell you anybody can grow up to be president. I remember thinking, oh God, I hope that's not true. And I wasn't even thinking about this guy. I'm thinking about myself, you know? There's no way.
He's going to come to your house one day?
Yeah, like this is the part of the science fiction movie where somebody comes back in time to kill me so I don't grow up to be president. Because clearly nobody in this room is suited to be president.
No.
The DNC comes and like,
I wouldn't even
want to
be. I wouldn't even want to be.
This kid's gluing his fingers together, and then this one's over here drawing Hitler mustaches on every picture in the social studies book. I'm like, there's no presidential people in this room.
We would like to speak to the man from the Uncle Roy video.
Yeah, exactly. Huh?
You could run this country like you ran that fictional restaurant.
Red dot on my forehead in third grade. You know, just like some sniper takes me out. But apparently it's true. Anybody can be president. Yeah.
Well, as long as they're of age. That's the big criteria.
Yeah, and money, of course.
You have to be 35.
Yeah. That's the big thing stopping.
Yeah, you have to be 35. Well, I mean, I don't know. I'd rather have, I don't know. If we had, like, a toddler for a president, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
In a way, we do.
Yeah.
Sort of is a toddler. True. Yeah.
Probably wears diapers.
Spoiled, obviously.
Yeah. Can you imagine just, like, no, no.
Has
like,
no social
like
skills.
Like, just a toddler, yeah, that just rambles on. You have to try to decipher what he's saying.
Yeah. Yeah, like the toddler at a restaurant whose parents won't shut him up.
Or
like,
take him outside.
Can you shut that kid up and they won't do it? That's who he is.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
that kid.
Mm.
Yeah, my family and I were talking about that, about like how people just leave their shitty kids just yelling in yeah. restaurants, and it's like, why do you not just take him outside and yeah. be like, hey, you're going to behave or we're going home?
Right. Or the well, kid's then, up and running then, around like a maniac?
Yeah, but then the parents aren't going to get their night out of Red Lobster.
No, you get your food to go, and you get that kid nothing.
Oh, yeah. That's how I was, yeah. If you don't like what we're cooking, then you're on your own.
Well, and if you're going to act up at the restaurant, you're going to eat shit at the house.
Oh, yeah.
My full-time job is customer service.
It's called being a parent.
Yeah. So I work customer service at Amalie Arena, and people will call and say, can I bring my 2-year-old to the Rihanna concert? And I'm almost like, well, you can, but should you bring your 2-year-old to the Rihanna concert? Mm-hmm. Like, A, is a 2-year-old going to enjoy that? B, how much are the people sitting around you going to enjoy having your 2-year-old
yeah.
at a concert like that?
Yeah.
And they don't. People don't care. They're just like, I just want to do what I want to do.
Yeah, and it's... kids along for the ride.
Yeah. Rihanna for a 2-year-old? Come on.
Well, she's probably like, let's be fair, she's probably like in her, you know, 19, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Which so is, it's like people like that, it's like they're kids themselves.
Well, she's like, which is cheaper, the babysitter or the ticket?
The most recent call for that was somebody asking about bringing a baby to the Maroon 5 concert, and she said, because the baby's being cranky and I can't get a babysitter. Oh, well, by all means, bring your cranky kid to the concert to the Maroon, and ruin how many other people's night out. Because you can't manage your own stupid kid.
Yeah, it's very... The world we live in is
they
very...
just don't care. People just don't care about anybody.
Well, everyone's important now, Clark. You know, with social media...
Self-important only,
yeah,
though.
Social media has right. made it to where everyone has a voice. Everyone's opinion matters. And it's like, no, dude, some people aren't going to get past...
Right.
You know, working on cars. Like, I'm not trying to be a dick. It's just that's the way it is. Nothing
it
wrong
has
with that.
To be that way.
There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, that's how society works. It's like
we need somebody to be a garbage person,
a mechanic,
and a dishwasher.
We need fast
right.
food employees, so we should pay them a living wage.
If somebody's not picking up the garbage, we choke to death in a week.
Oh, you meant you picking, I thought you meant people who are literally garbage.
No, yeah.
Well, that's going to happen.
Well, there's people there, yeah. But those are the people that are like, you know, that kid that's a high executive.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's garbage.
He's literal garbage.
Meanwhile, yeah. this guy's busting his ass. You know. People McDonald's trying to fucking do whatever.
People bringing 2-year-olds to Rihanna concerts. Garbage.
Right.
Yeah.
Another thing that drives me crazy is a celebrity will commit suicide. Like Anthony Bourdain kills himself. And all of a sudden everybody's on Facebook going, you need to check in on the people you love to make sure they're okay. Like, when was the last time you picked up a phone and checked on anybody
exactly.
you know to see if they're okay?
Let me scroll through your last yeah. 6 months of posts. Oh, here's you. Oh, yeah, you got new shoes.
Right.
You know, hashtag bae. You just keep going through
Have
all their 6 months.
Have you ever knocked on your next door like, neighbor's door to
the
even...
Fuck out. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you're on Facebook feeling good about yourself because you're telling people to care about each other. Wow, what a brave stance
it's
you've
so
taken.
It's so self-serving. That's why yeah. I hate when they like pray for France and all this shit. It's like, dude, you don't fucking care.
Mm-mm.
Stop it.
No, you're just...
That's what
you're putting yourself over.
Is Anthony Jeselnik said it best. He's like, don't forget about me today. That's
yeah.
all it is.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
don't forget
it's
about me today. Thoughts and prayers.
Did you see what I put on Facebook? I'm such a kind person. It's terrible.
It is.
Well, and the funny thing is people want to go after the people making jokes about that shit.
Right.
Even harder than the people who actually
right.
do the thing.
It's like, just a different take on the pray for, you know, making a joke. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
You're not
yeah.
having a real impact, and you're just doing it for attention. So
but what I mean is, like, a couple months ago...
At least
like,
it's funny.
No, that's the thing. Hopefully
like, no
it's funny.
Lost people, their tour because, like, they made the Las Vegas shooting joke.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you're basically putting them as equivalently bad or nearly as bad as the people who actually
yeah.
killed people. Like, they're making a joke.
Yeah, we've clearly lost our perspective on things. I don't know how you get that back or if it's even possible. I think we might be point of no return.
We're getting there, man. Like, I don't know how you go. Especially with, like, the way, speaking of colleges,
I think
dude,
it goes
the
back
stuff
to the
there,
media.
The way colleges are doing, it's crazy because the colleges are becoming those parents that just cater to these kids.
Yeah.
From what I've seen and hear, I'm like, that's ridiculous. Well, like, you're playing into their bullshit. You're supposed to be the authority figure.
It's
and these kids haven't dealt with authority figure because their parents coddle
right.
them all the way up to the,
right.
the college is like, well, we need students. We don't want to push them out and make them go somewhere else. So we need to like playing to their needs.
Well, it's because the rhetoric gets so insane. They're like, well, if you bring Jordan Peterson here, we're going to have to burn shit down.
Oh, right. Yeah. I was listening to NPR about and it's about like, the TED Talks. It was about like free speech on college campuses. And there's like college kids who are trying to get people with an opposing viewpoint of what the college consensus believes.
Yeah.
So he's like, I want that speaker to come so people can hear the other side of it. And people are like, no, we don't want him here. It's like, well, how are you ever going to fucking learn, dude? Like, growth lives in uncomfortability. Like, that's, you have to be uncomfortable. Because people are like, well, I don't feel comfortable
that's
about
David's
it.
Whole life.
Yeah, dude. No,
look at him. Does he look like he's comfortable?
Never. That's why I grow. Just, bigger and bigger in the belly.
Are you talking about literal growth?
Yeah. No. But that's what I mean. If you're never, ever, like, I don't know, you never challenge yourself. You never see the other viewpoint. You're just surrounding yourself with people with similar views, then you don't know how to handle conflict. And that's not good either.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you should only do conflict, but you need to learn how to handle.
And people want to respond to that by banging on the kids like it's their fault. Like, well, how about their crappy parents for like
raising doing them that this? Way?
Right. Like a lot of people my age, okay, I'm in my 50s. Mm-hmm. They like to bang on, like, when we were kids, we rode bicycles without helmets, and we climbed in trees, and we stayed out till after dark, and look how awesome we grew up to be. And I'm like, well, if we're in charge now.
If you manage to grow up.
Yeah, but like,
a lot of those kids died.
We're Vietnam. In charge. Yeah, but those were the weak ones. They needed to die. So the ones that are left are the strong. And I'm like, well, then, theoretically, we're in charge, and if it was so awesome, why isn't it like that now? Mm-hmm. You know? Now we live in deed-restricted communities where you get fined if your kid tries to build a treehouse. You know what I mean?
Grass has to be cut a certain length.
You can't play in a vacant lot because somebody will get sued if they get hurt. You know, you have to play in a league-sanctioned sporting thing and pay for a major league-licensed uniform. Mm-hmm. You can't just... Whose fault is that? It's not the kid's fault. It's the adult's fault who should be in charge of this stuff. If it's so awesome then, why isn't it even close to like that now?
I'll tell you, a lot of that is all right, having gone to Oklahoma recently, I feel like a lot of that is just because of where we live. Like,
I think it's everywhere, though.
No, I don't think it is.
No,
think,
yeah, Middle America is way different than where we live.
Middle America, like, there is so little rules and regulations for, like, how cities can be planned and, like, what people can do. And
in a way, good.
In a way, good. But what I'm saying is, like, because we look at it that way, and it comes to that when we talk about guns or we talk about expression or whatever, because we're like... Well, we live in this massive city where, like, if everybody can just go around, like, saying crazy shit, things can really get
out
of
control. But if you live, like,
but if you live in bumblefuck nowhere, it's like, who cares?
Yeah, that's the one crazy guy that we'll just keep an eye on him, or whatever.
Or, like, oh, he gets guns, so
yeah, but the thing is, it's a coast. It's always a coast. Like, even on Florida, the coast alone.
That's true.
No one in the Everglades is having a discussion about gun talk. They're just fucking shooting gators.
We're a half hour from Lakeland, and we're nothing like Lakeland.
Yeah. And there's no debate. Like, we're just going to do it. And no one says anything because there's only, 5,000 people that live there.
See, that's what's weird about Lakeland. It's smack between Orlando and Tampa, and it's nothing like either.
No, you're right. It's supposed to be this bridge, and it's not. In a way, I think our last good hope is...
under the bridge.
Yeah, it's under a bridge. I think our society's last best hope is the skateboarders, because those are the kids playing outside and busting themselves up and like doing all the things that supposedly all the awesome earlier generations used to do. And, of course, we all hate the skateboarders. Like, get off our property and stuff. No, those are the kids that are going to save us when this shit hits the fan.
I think stuff just...
Because they're the last tough kids.
I think stuff just swings back and forth. Like, I think
it does. There's a pendulum effect.
We're in the phase of like the generation coming up immediately after ours and to in effect ours.
Yeah.
Is just fucking horrible. Like little entitled shits. And like the one before entitled in a different way typically.
Yeah.
No offense, Clark.
No, we didn't do anything. We did not prepare generations coming. My generation did nothing to prepare future generations to be good. I think the thing was we did nothing.
It's the pendulum effect and the opposite thing. It's like when you were growing up, your parents didn't even know where the fuck you were half the time.
Right.
Now it's like parents are always on top of their kids.
Yeah, like they have a GPS spotter.
But that's the funny thing, though.
But it's like Carlin. I was listening to that Carlin bit, and he's like, parents, they should teach our kids to question authority, but they don't because parents are the authority.
Right.
So they just play into them. And like I said, now colleges are doing that. College is where you were supposed to get opposing viewpoints and supposed to like learn
challenged,
about other
get
cultures.
Challenged on what
you've
grown
because
up. Yeah.
If you grew up in a small town, you may not see a black person that
or
much.
A gay person.
Or a gay person. And now you go to college and like everything is just a fucking influx of it.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm saying generationally. So, like, basically ours, our generation, and to a large effect, like, the boomers, which you're kind of in, right?
I'm on the fringe between boomer and Generation X. I'm not sure. It changes depending on what magazine article you look at.
But it's like we're millennials, but we're, like, barely millennials. Yeah.
Right, right.
So I feel like those generations are, like, hyper-progressive and whatnot, typically. And then, like, the new one coming up, like, there's this weird thing where if you look at, like, the alt-right, it's typically the very old people and the very young people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, like, there's the pocket in the middle of, like, us, basically.
Yeah, we're fucked, dude. Like, not fucked, but we're in that special place, I always said.
Yeah.
Because, like, growing up, we had, well, I didn't get the internet until I was, like, 15. So, like, the first few years of my life, I wasn't on computers. I was outside doing the playing and skating and scraping my knees up and breaking bones and shit. Mm-hmm. And then the internet came along. And it's like, wow, now I have all this shit on my fingertips.
It's a whole bunch of kids who are being raised to be like, oh, well, we'll just raise our kid to be they self, and there's 38 genders. And they're like, fuck that, I'll be all right. And like, that's the way it's going.
Yeah, this is too extreme. That's what you got.
Yeah, everybody's embracing.
And then there's me in the middle, like, wait a minute, guys. I kind of see both your points on certain topics and certain things. Can we come to the middle? No, you have to be one or the other.
I'm not willing to discuss it.
No.
Well, somewhere along the line, winning meant your opponent had to lose and be humiliated in the process. Like,
oh, yeah.
It wasn't enough to just, like, come out ahead. You had to destroy the other person.
I blame those.
You
got to
win like a champion and lose like a champion.
I blame those Ultimate Surrender videos Jorge was talking about. With the lesbian girls, where they, like, the one who pins gets to fuck the other one with a strap on.
Oh, God. We're talking about that last week.
So this is like sports porn, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in a ring.
This is
like I've never heard of that.
I think it was Jorge's idea for like a...
No, it's not an idea. It's a real thing.
Oh, it's a real thing?
It's a real thing, Ultimate Surrender, yeah.
I get the feeling that Jorge knows a lot about stuff that I have no idea about.
Me too.
Yeah. I need to spend more time with Jorge.
I think we all do.
Yeah, because I didn't know that existed. Now I'm very intrigued.
Yeah. Well, it goes to your point. Like, the loser is very humiliating.
Yeah, you
yeah, but like now, like the kids play soccer, they don't keep score. It's like, no, you have to learn how to take an L in life, dude. Not everything's going to be given to you.
Right.
And but on the same token, when your kid wins, you can't, as a parent, be over there, fuck those other kids, they suck. It's like, no, you got to tell your kid to win graciously as well.
Does the winning team in soccer get to peg the other team?
Oh, God. Depending on how the age restriction
on the make the World Cup watchable.
I'll tell you that much. But I feel like there used to be a time when if your guy lost an election, your reaction would kind of be like, well, that sucks. We'll be okay, but I'm not going to be real happy for the next 4 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But basically, we'll be okay for the most part. Yeah, and now it's like, if my guy loses, it's the end of the world.
I'm going to burn this shit down.
Yeah. And if your guy wins, it's like, we are the champion. We get everything. And like the other people have to go into space or something. Like, they're not going
to
exist.
You have to leave the country. You said you were going to leave the country.
I feel like this last election was like when Philly's in any championship game. Like, win or lose, we're burning this bitch down.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like the winners are like, we'll burn it down. The losers are like, we're going to burn it down.
Once my guy got ransacked out of the DNC area.
Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when
Jeb, I got a chip out of him over there.
When Jeb Bush was still a viable candidate before he was eliminated, I thought.
Clap.
I was like, yeah, but it's like, if he makes it, I won't be thrilled, but like, we're not going to die if he's the president.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? When he was governor of Florida, they said he wasn't too bad.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job with the storms that would come along and stuff. I'm like, we'll be all right.
Yeah. You know,
he's not my guy, but we'll be okay.
Crush it with the death penalty.
Yeah, so.
He killed so many people.
But now it's just like.
We're going to use this one.
Like dark clouds literally rolled in over
it's
the
like,
country.
And now it's like extreme, like Putnam guy. I don't follow it, man. I need to, but it's just, it's so painstaking to like the get Putnam, into that.
The
it's
Putnam like, one was so interesting to me because the commercial they were running was so tone deaf at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was like Grady Judd, the sheriff of Pasco County or whatever.
Yeah. Not going Pasco, out, but
that
yes,
clown.
That's Polk County.
They're the same thing.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But he was coming out and saying, like, and we're going to enforce the immigration laws and punish people instead of catch and release. I'm like, you're doing this at the time they're putting kids in cages.
Yeah.
Like, this is the ad you want to run.
But it's just, it's like...
In a commercial with only white people.
Politics is so hard because you have to not only pay attention to your candidate, but everyone has a voice. So it's like when you get online,
everybody has a mouth.
Yeah, you'll see people just like debate, and it's like, dude, how can you literally think that?
We have a voice
and
online.
And I'll get to a point where I read this, and I'm like, I have to respond, because this person can't be that dumb to say like this crazy nonsense.
David, we have a voice online. They have a voice to the senator. That's the whole problem.
Yeah. Like,
But in a way, it's almost like sports, where like Boston Red Sox fans and New York Yankees fans will fight each other physically, mm-hmm. whereas the actual players for those teams hang out and play golf together.
Well, yeah. then they'll get so traded to each other's teams.
Right, exactly. The fans are far more invested in the battle than the actual participants are.
Yeah. That's because they all extremes. Have big bank accounts.
Right, yeah. They're on this.
The fans are like, this is all I have, all right? Fucking win it for me.
Carlin's line about it's a big club and you ain't in it.
That's right.
Well, that's what it is.
And you're fighting for the... For yeah. the What, was it Carlin or Seinfeld? Like, you're rooting for the jersey?
Seinfeld said, you're rooting for laundry.
Yeah.
That's a great analogy for
and
sports.
They'll swap sides, you know, wherever the dollars are.
Yeah.
So, but meanwhile, yeah, but we're stepping on each other's heads outside of the building where they're speaking.
Yeah.
And they're eating lunch together inside.
I forget what I was on to. I was talking about, like, Cleveland and, like, could you just imagine living in a place where the biggest news is, like, if the basketball man's there or not? Like,
oh, I know.
Does LeBron play here now? No? All right, this town sucks. He's here, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. He leaves, he comes back, and their moods go. City. Yeah.
God, I listened to that Regan bit the other day about politics. Have you heard it? Where he talks about, like, going to, like, a $10,000 plate event.
No.
He's like, I'm not really into politics, but he's like, they had a $10,000 a plate event. Uh-huh. He's like, if I was there, he's like, I'd send it back. Yeah. Just because I could. Because
it's $10,000.
He'd be like, oh, this is good. It's not $10,000 good. I was fucking dying. Fucking Regan. I'm just been getting into like cleaner stuff recently. I don't know.
Sorry. Regan's a genius. So yeah. I've played Regan for people who somehow haven't heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, they go like, how many dirty words do you use? And they're like, oh, I don't know, 6 or 7. I'm like, 0.
Yeah.
Nothing. That's how good he is. You don't even notice.
How difficult is it for you guys when someone like mentions a garbage comic as their favorite? Like, does it bother you at all?
Not really, because like, humor is subjective.
When you're like, because I was talking to someone, she was like, "I like the guy, the ventriloquist." I was like, "Ventriloquist." She's like, "Yeah," and I was like, "She's like, yeah, the one with the terrorist stuff." I'm like, "Yeah, Jeff Dunham." And she was like, "Yeah, he's the best." I'm like,
"It doesn't bother me."
Some of his jokes aren't bad, but he's just playing to his audience.
I always think if you make somebody laugh, then by definition, you're funny. Can't dispute that whether they're funny or not. And if somebody finds them funny, then well, that's harmless.
This is a guy that's selling out arenas in those Midwestern cities, though. That's the thing.
We had him in Emily Arena when he was in town.
He comes here too, for sure.
Yeah, 15,000 people.
But what I'm saying is those people, like, those are going to be... He's going to have more fans there than he will in, like, right. L.A. or New York.
I know it ultimately doesn't matter to them, and it wouldn't matter to me either.
Yeah.
If and when I never get to that level.
Right.
But the idea to me is I think a lot of people are going for the story. Like, you know what I did Sunday? I saw Jeff Dunham.
From
Netflix and TV. And everybody would be like, oh, I know Jeff Dunham. Or like, go see Kevin Hart. I know Kevin Hart.
Yeah. It just becomes a thing you do, I guess, at that point.
It's a story. Like,
when you get big enough to a certain level,
Because like you go and you tell people, it's like, yeah, I went to see Jim Florentine. They're like, who? And I'm like,
right.
Fucking Christ. Like, you shouldn't have to explain to you who Jim Florentine is.
My go-to there is Nick Griffin. I'm like, how do more people not heard of Nick Griffin? I mean, he's only on TV all the time.
Hang on, I'm getting another call.
Who could this be?
Hello?
Speak up.
Matt?
Matt
Williams butt-dialed me.
Call him back.
Boo, Matty.
I hate him.
Doesn't hate him, man?
God, he's the worst.
I'm carrying a mattress. I gotta answer this phone call.
This is at least the third podcast I've been on where people trash Matt Williams.
It's just so easy.
I know.
He's so trashable.
And he just smiles all the time. Yeah, you're right, probably.
But like last time I saw Brian Regan was in Lakeland, and he did on his whole show. And then at the end, he did what he called comedy jukebox and let people call out old bits, and he did their old bits.
Really?
Yeah, and people were so excited to see
like his old bits.
Yeah, and people were like so excited to hear the old bits, and I'm like. I know he's doing it because they're asking for it, but why do they need to hear the old stuff? Why?
Yeah, they already know it.
Because that's what they like and that's what they want, so that's what he gave them.
Yeah, Tom Segura was talking about that, and he was saying, like, it's just, they wouldn't laugh at the Tom Segura ones.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, we know the bits. Like, well, why are you asking then?
Yeah.
That's like when people go to concerts and they hear a different version of some song. Well, it's not like it is on the record. Like, well, then stay home and listen to the record.
Yeah.
That's how old I am. I just use the word record to describe it.
But it's a change thing. That's safe. They know the safe material. A lot of people.
But what's the point of going to see a live performance of something you're intimately familiar with? Yeah, I guess.
Like Steven said.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you heard that Brian Regan album? Yeah, I saw him live when he did it.
Yeah.
It's just like a one-up thing. Not one-up, but it's just like...
It's not even just one-up. It's like, I did something interesting this weekend.
It's like Tim C's bit about, like, instead of like taking a picture. He's like, people don't... He's like, didn't just go outside to take a picture so they can post it online.
Right. Instead of just, like, I sat at home and just hated my wife over dinner. Like, it sounds better we went out to a show.
Or like when we went out to dinner.
Yeah.
Like, when you were in school.
I hated her there.
Yeah.
Like, when you were in school and there was a concert, and, like, the next day, kids are wearing the T-shirt from the concert. You know, like, okay, I know you went to the show last night. Okay,
fucking strutting.
Yeah, exactly. Your brand new black T-shirt.
With that big dick energy.
Right. Like, that kind of energy.
You'll never believe I saw Slipknot yesterday.
But in answer to your question, no, it doesn't bother me when people like, I don't know, mainstream comedians. I don't care.
I just don't even know how to, like, follow it up. Like, I don't know how to respond to it and be like...
That's why you talk to your comedy friends about that stuff instead, you know, when you can be snobs about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh, Jeff Dunham. You know, your comedy buddies will understand.
I know, I shit on him too, but he fucking made those puppets himself, which I thought was pretty cool. I'm like, oh man, that's at least some kind of... I'm like, I don't even like writing sometimes. This guy fucking made a puppet.
Can't begrudge anybody for being a success unless, you know, they hurt people on the way stole. To doing it. But yeah, if they stole. But, yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Stealing
but if they just hustled and they made themselves into something, well, you know, even though I don't care for their comedy,
I
still respect them for doing something.
But it's so easy to shit on certain one because it's a gimmicky. He's got a puppet. Or like Larry the Cable Guy, he's doing a character and people are like, it's so easy to shit on him for doing that character. Right.
It's obvious. It's obvious humor, most of the jokes. Like, that's what bothers me. It's like...
Yeah, there's no...
He's not blazing trails.
No, it's... Yeah. Because I've done some
rooms. There's no misdirection, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I've done some rooms where, like, it's open mics. I talked about this with, like, when I was in New York, where just person after person, like, there was a bunch of people who were... I get it. It's New York. There's a lot of Jewish people there.
Yeah.
But it was just one guy after another being like, oh, I'm Jewish. My mom, blah, blah, blah. She wants me to be this, and da-da-da. And, like, the next guy gets up, and his whole act is about how he's Jewish.
Right.
And the same jokes.
Yeah.
And then the third guy is from Israel.
Right.
So, like, he's...
Right. What's he going to talk about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just, or like, you know, when you have like the black comic be like, oh, my credit score is fucked up. Like that joke. I'm like, it's just so.
I don't think I can.
Man, what's up with white people?
I can't sit through that one more time.
Here we fucking go.
I can't sit through one more interpretation of white people do this, black people do that. Yeah. I can't do it.
Ridiculous.
I can't sit through
one more. It's 2018, dude. This ain't the 80s anymore.
Yeah.
We get it. We know all the differences.
Every single thing has been covered.
Not only that, we see it every day on Twitter.
Right. Right, but people love it though. They're like, "It's true. We're so lame."
I can't.
Because it's easy to shit on white people.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Because everyone's on board. White, black, everyone.
Right.
Everyone hates us. Anyway,
he's telling the truth. Yeah. I don't want him living next to me, but that's funny.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm gonna go back to my gated community now.
Right.
Fun
exactly.
In that ghetto.
Yeah.
Can I get a photo with you for the interwebs?
Click.
No, yeah. The one I can't stand. It's a specific like one-liner type joke, like the stupidest misdirection, like. You know, I just turned 40 12 years ago. Like
oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've heard probably about 15 local comics do that joke.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I never hear that exact joke again, that'd be great by me.
I have a picture on my phone of me sitting next to JB Ball at an open mic where like three black comics in a row got up and did the black the people, white people. Yeah. And he's just got this sour look on his face. And it's one of my favorite pictures.
Oh, yeah.
He's so unhappy.
It's so good. Yeah, because I mean,
look how miserable he is.
But like, no, it's just because like to him, I get it. It's like he sees that, and it's like you're in my fucking way. You're not only that, you're making what you're dumbing down what I do.
Yeah,
and that's not because I mean, honestly, everyone's an individual, but because he's black, he will get associated with those comics. So like in his mind, he's probably thinking same thing with white people. That's why we shit on each other. It's like.
Well,
we hate white people. Yeah, they're evil.
Yeah, they're the worst.
You know Kyle, right? Kyle Neely?
Yeah.
He was talking about it. He's like, I don't want to get dragged into that shit.
Yeah.
Because he was like saying like a couple of the local guys were like, oh, man, you got to go to these urban rooms. He's like, I don't want to just be the urban room guy.
Yeah.
No, it's got to be, that's the challenge for those guys.
He's like, I just want to be a comic.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't even want a stool on the stage when I'm up there, please.
Right.
I don't want the opportunity. I don't want people to think I'm going to fuck it. I don't even want it up there. Yeah.
Well, it's just like me. Like I don't want to do the alt rooms. And there's like, I feel like there's a couple of those. And I don't like that's kind of where I've been doing better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I want to get better at, like, the main rooms.
And the clubs and stuff.
Well, it's good to stretch yourself, obviously. Like I'm
the thing
I'm
is,
fat.
You got to realize, with the clubs, dude, those people, they, if you do surface jokes or, not to say hacky, but, like, kind of predictable jokes, like you were saying, that's the shit that they will work.
Well, because, no, in the club, the difference is, clubs, they expect you to have a certain, like, ratio and speed of your jokes. But, like, in the alt rooms, you can not make people laugh for 45 seconds and, get a good laugh.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
And I'm like,
you can go 90 seconds without a punchline.
Yeah, and I don't want to fall into that trap. And to an extent, that's what certain rooms are. You know the ones I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
but you could do that and look at Mike Birbiglia. He made a career doing shit like that.
Doing what?
Like alt rooms and stuff.
No, but Mike Birbiglia gets a laugh probably every 15 seconds.
Yeah, that's true. I'm trying to think of someone that I don't know.
Like Patton Oswalt. Patton Oswalt has just big gaps between his laughs. And I'm like, I don't want that because that's not... That's not consistent enough for club work.
Right.
Because, it's going to be so much harder to get into a club if that's your...
Cadence,
yeah.
Yeah, just don't do a tell.
Well, I'm...
Everybody does a tell.
I'm fat, so I always feel like I have to at least do, one fat joke.
I fucking hate it, too. I do. I hate it. That's
but part if of I don't address it, that. People are going to be like, well, why? How is he not going to mention the obvious thing? Exactly. So I feel like black guys probably have the same thing. They have to... Maybe go there at least once and just get it out of the way. Maybe.
I never thought about
so,
that. But there's definitely better ways of doing that.
More
clever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like with fat jokes, I guess.
It's annoying, but I have to address it up front and get it out of the way.
I hate it, dude.
Yeah.
Because, especially when I'm doing a guess it, it's I have 5 minutes and I have to waste 60 seconds of it telling you. About fat,
right?
You're at ease now. It's
we've covered it. We can move on. Yeah. Or if you're the only white guy on a show where there's black or Latino comedy, you have to mention. Well, I'm white. Do that.
I'm the token white guy.
Yeah. So I mean, it's victims of circumstance sometimes.
Yeah.
We're forced to be a hack a little bit.
Yeah, that's the thing with the audiences.
My absolute favorite thing is from the back of the room every time a woman goes up. Just the big cheer. Yeah. Ooh, it's a lady.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we're going to talk about in a couple weeks on the identity with Katie. Katie wants to address that.
Yeah.
So
because, that's got to be awesome for them to just
of course.
Be known for...
Here comes some tits.
Yeah. David's I got tits. Where's my...
Right.
Fuck yeah, that's what I'm saying, dude. I got a dick. That's why I used to do my Caitlyn Jenner joke.
You even go up with your shirt off.
That's right, I'll take it. I don't go up there with
you
that
and Bert Kreischer. Yeah.
No, I just do it for one joke and it's a closer.
Oh, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a thing. But people are like, I don't want to become that, though, because Bert takes his shirt off. That's his thing, you know.
He does an entire set with his shirt off.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
So have you guys had women on this show?
Shannon, Marie,
Katie. Yeah, you mentioned that.
Katie.
Right. Did they talk about this stuff at all, the special challenges they face?
No, it's never about challenges. It's almost always, it's easier.
Oh, it's easier?
Well, it's just easier to get booked. That's pretty much the...
Yeah, but there's still the mindset out there, don't have to mention any names, Ed Giovanni, that think that women aren't funny, though. They still have to fight that.
Oh, for sure.
In the year 2018, they're still battling that stupid thing.
Every comic has to overcome shit. We're straight white males. Yeah. We have a lot to overcome, too, because there's so many of us. Just they're women, they're not that many of them, so they get more opportunities, but at the same time, they have to work harder sometimes to be funny, to say, because of that stigma.
Well, they have to be harder. They have to be harder.
Ooh.
David's got to be harder. Yeah. Anyways. they got to push themselves more just because, it's easy to become complacent when they're
to fall into that
trap. We're just looking to book any woman. If we could just get a woman on the show.
Well, it's like Steven said when he was in New York. He said he saw women comics doing that to that black or white thing where they're we only get 70% of the laughs. And it's just come on, dude.
Right.
How many fucking women have been saying that across the country the past year?
Yeah. Yeah. But then why do they feel they feel they have to do it we were talking about?
Maybe,
But the thing was, is it wasn't getting any laughs anywhere I started doing it. It's so if it's not working, just throw that shit away.
I heard somebody the other day, I don't know if it was
a comic. Well, it's for clapping. You're doing jokes, talking for clapping.
Yeah.
No, at that point, there's, if you're making a point, the audience claps.
You're actually there, Matt?
Yeah.
Oh there he
is. Oh my God, Williams!
He's
you.
He's on even when he's not on.
Right, yeah.
You got any Simpsons references for us?
Any what?
Simpsons references for us.
Oh, Simpsons?
Yeah.
Stop! He's already dead.
Yeah, we were talking about how Marge had her hair down, and I was like, Matt would probably know the episodes where that happened.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What are you doing? Are you moving? I heard your car ding door thing.
Yeah, I literally just got in my car. We're about to drive to Ocala to drop the rest of the doctor's stuff off.
Are you the doctor's companion?
Yes. I hold stuff.
Yeah.
And then dictate.
Yeah. And then
what? Then you hold stuff in your ass and you know what his dick tastes.
Yeah. You guys travel through time and space and they retard us.
Yes. Oh yeah.
It's like a normal TARDIS but much slower and like it's got play school buttons.
Right.
Hey Matt, it's guess who's on your show this week?
It's sponsored by Hyundai.
Matt, guess who the guest is on your show this week?
It sounds like Uncle Roy.
It is Uncle Roy. Good guess.
Absolutely no drinks.
No drinks, yeah.
No drinks.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, no, this was, sorry I couldn't make it to this one. I the two that I really wanted to be a part of are the two that I haven't gotten to do.
Well, it's not like I'm taking it personally or anything.
The round two with Jorge Gonzalez.
Oh, well, yeah. But, I mean, we had Jacobs. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, you guys are identical, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You both just take over the podcast. You're very loud. You talk a lot. Both of you do that.
You both apparently...
Oh, yeah. We're great. Yeah.
You both are apparently very averse to being cucks.
Both got Simpson references. It was a perfect stand-in.
You both have watched MTV. Can't say you've been on it,
right?
we both are going to vote for Randy Holton for governor.
Well, who is
senator?
Oh, yeah. Or senator?
Or senator? Or senator? Or whatever.
Either one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. As long as he
something.
He could definitely be our alderman.
Yeah. Do we have alderman here?
Randy Holton for treasurer.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's Josh Santos. Josh Santos is running for treasurer.
Is he?
That's right. Hillsborough.
Yeah. I thought he was tax collector.
I don't know politics.
Oh, yeah, no.
Candidate's right.
The tax collector takes your money. The treasurer spends
it.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, fellas.
They both got to be liberals, taxing and spending.
Yeah.
If Randy spent our money, it would be like hookers and pizza everywhere.
Yeah, totally.
Everyone gets donuts.
Yeah.
Donuts with boobs.
Right.
Yeah.
And a woman that dances named Donuts.
Yeah, right. And anybody you don't like gets a kick in the balls.
That's right. Yep, crush their nuts.
Easily.
That's a platform I can be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Maddie. You have fun. Be safe. Don't get too sweaty.
I love you.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, okay. It dropped out for a second.
Oh, you missed me saying I love you.
Yep.
Okay, good.
All right, fellas.
That's usually the response when I say that to someone.
Yeah. It's like, yes, you do.
Yep.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Matt.
Just resigned to the fact that I love them. Yep.
Bye. This is weird. We've got phone calls coming in and shit.
I know. I was here for all the phone calls.
Huh?
I like this new format.
Yeah, it is fun. It is fun to do a quick check-in. Especially Steve with his goddamn prepared fucking Wikipedia printout page while he's driving, eating an
orange. I bet he wrote that whole thing yesterday.
Oh, dude, he was thinking about it because it was very well prepared.
I'm didn't just wing that.
He's probably sitting there in a smoking jacket. No, he did take
improv. You know, we had him on before you, Clark. Not saying anything. Not saying he's better or anything, but he is really good at improv.
He can get in at McCurdy's.
Yeah, he actually headlined right. McCurdy's.
Yeah,
he
can actually get on the open mic at McCurdy's.
No, I think he headlined it that weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
Him and Sinbad, right.
Yeah, Steve Miller, Sinbad, same level.
Pretty much.
So we're not supposed to make
one has
of
more
guys.
Nylon tracksuits than the other, but...
Yeah, looking at you, Steve.
Yeah.
Steve Miller in his Zubaz pants.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that'd be a good look for him.
Oh yeah,
could you see him in the house instead of
dude? I saw
Bad.
I saw Steve yesterday.
Phil Hartman,
him and Phil Hartman's corpse.
I saw Steve yesterday. He came over to the arena for lunch, and he was wearing these socks. And somebody said, "Who's on your socks?" And they had pictures on them. He goes, it's Easy E, but when I put them on, they become Ice Cube. He has swollen ankles, is what I'm saying. But that's his joke.
Like Folgers coffee cans.
Yeah, that's his joke.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's a good guy, too. Cuddly.
Oh, yeah. He's a big teddy bear.
When he come over, does he work down there?
He's writing for The Identity. He covers music for The Identity. He's writing a weekly column on local musicians, Steve. Similar to how I'm writing about comedians.
Yeah, Steve but where's Steve your actual Miller. Office, though? At the arena?
It's the old, yeah, the old Storm office downstairs.
Do you have a newsman hat? Like one of the ones?
I don't. I want a license plate so I can go to things and park without having to pay. But
yeah,
I
can just have CJ make
I
you
have
one.
A polo shirt is all I have. So, yeah, I could get CJ to make me one. With
you
a,
have a lanyard?
A yeah, press pass. With a Bud Light, what was it, a Bud Light barcode on it? Why do you have a barcode on your press pass? I don't know. I thought it should have one. Yeah. But the Identity office is currently occupying where the Tampa Bay Storm used to be because we no longer have an arena football team.
Mm-hmm.
And all the pictures from the Storm days are up there. And it's kind of like going into one of those Halloween stores that clearly used to be a Circuit City.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's got that kind of vibe like, oh, this is your office, but it didn't used to be your office.
Yeah.
So that's where we're operating out of currently.
Like this place could get bought by somewhere else.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it'll be something else.
Like a party city.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Circuit City to party city.
There's still a neon sign that says car systems, but you're selling Halloween masks. Yeah. It's one of those places. You know. Yeah.
You guys got any plugs? I think we should probably wrap.
Plugs?
Plugs.
Can I talk about dates?
Yeah, that's what plugs are for.
Oh, okay. August 9th, I'll be at Iberian Rooster for the Preston Lacey BBM tour. I don't even know what that stands for.
Big Beautiful Man.
Oh, Big Bowel
Movement. I'll be there.
I thought, yeah, you guys are part of that. You too, right?
Steve? Yeah.
Okay, and then...
I think Shannon asked for me to be on that one, which was interesting. So
she's working with Roger on that together?
Yeah, she's hosting that one.
She asked Roger for me for sure, because she came up to me and she was like, how are you... It was at the Improv. She's like, are you not... She's like, I'm doing this thing for Roger. I'm like the Big Beautiful Man. Yeah. She's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm on like the Saturday show in Tampa. Yeah. She's like, why aren't you doing my show? I'm like, I don't know, because he gave me this room.
Right.
Like, so she,
who asked first?
She messaged him and was like, I want to put David. And he's like, Roger's like, oh, okay, whatever. He don't care.
Well, it's good that they can work together.
So I'll be on both of them.
Yeah. Then I'm doing Kyle Roos's dating game on the 17th. I'm excited about that. That's at the Whiskey, which is, I guess, like an upscale strip club.
I think Ricky's on that one too, right?
He is, and so is Jander. It's me, Ricky, and Jander.
That's a fucking competing, all-star cast.
Competing for the love and affection of a stripper.
What day was that? The 17th?
17th in August. I'm excited about that.
Wish I had an air horn.
I think Kyle had like a wad of cash fall out of your pockets, like mid-joke.
Well,
like
that would require having a wad of cash. Oh, maybe okay. I can get some quarters to fall
just
out.
Just do like the rappers and rent
like
that shit.
Like the Sunny in Philly thing. Yeah. I dropped my wallet and my Magnum condoms for my right. monster oh, dong.
For my monster dong. I'm Dr. Mantis Toboggan. Yeah.
No, just rent that shit like a rapper. You know?
Just rent some money.
Yeah, that's what they do, dude. They rent fucking...
They rent money?
And jewelry.
Just wrap a 20 around some singles.
That would require having a 20. So that'll be fun. So those are the two big ones coming up, I'd say.
Mm.
Then a fundraiser on the 11th in between there. So, but that's helping people, so I don't expect people to come out.
You're
to
doing
that.
It with Patrick, right?
Yeah, me and Patrick are doing the Water to Wine Super Big Show. It's hosted by a woman who's a pinup model, so I'm excited about that. She's adorable.
You and Patrick couldn't be more similar.
I know, yeah. We're practically the same person.
Oh, boy, that's...
Yeah. Yeah. Patrick has such a bright, sunny outlook on life.
Trash.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. So those are the big three coming up.
I just hope Ed leaves them alone. Oh.
Yeah, what are we going to do if Ed shows up wanting to fight Patrick? What do we do? Do we stand up and fight Ed off? I think we're obligated to. He's family, right?
Offer him hats or a wig or something for that.
Something.
Ed?
That dude. Have you guys ever done his room out on the beach?
I did it once a long time ago, and it was
It's like
shitty.
The back room of a back room.
Yeah.
You have to like walk through
it
the...
from someone else. I forget who it was.
That's what Jander was saying. Jander has like inside info on how that all went down.
I don't know. Rob G was... This is when he was still with the Bone, so he was doing like... His last, like, he had just gotten fired, like, the day before or whatever.
Oh, really?
So but he had the show planned at Sporty's, or I don't even want to promote it, but it's some place down in St. Pete Beach. And then...
They have a vinyl backdrop of a brick wall.
Yeah, it's great, dude. Yeah. It's so great. So I went out there and did the open mic, and then I guess that guy took it over afterwards. And yeah. I went out there once to do his mic, and it was atrocious. I'm like,
yeah, it's brutal.
Trash.
Yeah, it was pointless. And then, like, I remember he was wearing a shirt. That should have told me all about him. It had like handcuffs on it, and it this is like before the election, and it said like lock her up. I was like, oh, I get it, dude. You like Trump,
right? Because
you know he's squeaky clean. He's never done an illegal thing in his life,
right?
They have similar stances on women.
I hate politics. So, for sure.
Who's the only funny comedian that supports Trump is Nick DiPaolo. He's the only one I can think of that
he's one of the conservative guys.
And I don't agree with him at all, but he's funny. So I can...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Even though he may have that stance, he still somehow sells it. So.
Yeah. I don't agree with him at all, but I'd happily sit through his show because he's funny.
Yeah.
But anyway...
Anyway, so what are your plugs, DW?
I had the August 9th on The Big Beautiful Man, which is a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And then August 11th, that Saturday, in Tampa.
At Villaggio,
right down the street from Side Splitter. So if you're thinking of going to Side Splitters, don't go to Side Splitters. Go to Villaggio. You can go to Side Splitters Friday.
They're doing shows at that movie theater?
Yeah.
Who's doing those?
The Preston Lacey one.
Oh, okay.
Roger and Nicole. And then at that Cayman Cove right next to it, that's going to be the after party because that's his birthday that night.
Oh, that's cool.
Preston Lacey's birthday.
Maybe do a
I'll try to come over there after my
thing. Yeah, we might do a podcast with him too. So.
I'll try to come over there maybe after my thing. Unless we have an after party. I don't know.
What thing?
For the super big show. Yeah.
Yeah.
After party going to be in Sid's room.
Isn't Nicole sweet?
I've never talked to her.
No, she's a sweet girl.
She's a really nice girl. And I feel like she tries to do stuff, and sometimes it doesn't work out, and I feel bad because she is so nice and tries so hard.
She doesn't quit, though. So
no, she's relentless, so she'll push through eventually.
That's the hard thing, man, if you're nice.
She was doing she was booking dates at the strip club out on the east end of 7th Avenue, like past Ybor City.
Oh, is this the...
Dreams, I think it's called?
Yeah, but it was like stand-up strip...
Yeah, some strip club
that,
thing,
yeah.
And the place is just a pit. And
that's right, you did it with like Townsend and
I showed up when
Tyler.
Townsend was there. Yeah, I didn't go up.
And you had that photo, it was like Hack Street Boys, it was fucking hilarious, dude.
She pulls everybody aside and she goes, "Hey, you guys, I just request that you don't make fun of the venue or the strippers." And Zach's like, "Well, now guess what my entire set is? It's going to be making fun of the venue and the strippers."
And did he?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course he did.
Yeah. So... I'm going to be at the Villaggio on the 1st of August for, like, something Nicole's putting on with, like, I don't know, it's like some sort of, like, networking carnival thing I'll be doing
there. Oh, that's fun. I got to talk to Nicole, apparently.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Network.
Yeah. I'm going to be hosting Cayman Cove on the 3rd of August.
Nice.
So
Unless there's a soccer game.
Unless there's a soccer game.
Yeah.
People are rowdy for their footy.
Right.
August 4th, I'm going to be at the Beef O'Brady show in Parrish.
Cool.
Those two shows. I mean, I'd say
get
tickets.
That's 2 a day, right?
But they're sold out, yeah.
I think I have your name on the calendar next week for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like I said, like the tickets are already sold out, so.
Yeah, well, that's ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah, they love the comedy in Parrish, huh?
Do you have to be clean at Beef O'Brady's because it's a family place?
No.
No?
No, okay. It's a back room. It's like a separate room.
Oh, okay.
You
know? Okay.
I think you got to be 18 or 21, I think, is the way
that's
Dan's running it.
Huh.
So... and then pretty much the same dates as Davey over here. On the 9th, I'm going to be at
Iberian.
What are you guys, like Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin? You guys tour together?
Yeah
we're the fat pack.
I don't know. Which one was the fatter one? I don't know.
Jerry kind of bulked up there for a while, I think. Okay. But Dean was always kind of slim and
tall and
good looking.
Tall and slim and Steven.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good
You're
looking.
The Dean Martin.
I always consider myself more of a Don Rickles type.
I can see that.
Short, fat, and stupid.
You're not short. You're like 6 foot.
Well, I don't think Rickles was stupid.
No, but I meant like silly with his jokes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the 11th also with David at Villaggio. I think that's all I have currently.
Cool.
Hopefully we can do a live show either the 11th or sometime in the near future.
If we do a live show, we'll be taking calls, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Preston Lacey.
Huh?
Yeah, we'll be taking calls, we'll be doing games, all sorts of silly shit.
I hope Preston Lacey's nice.
Steven's going to get a soundboard, and you're on with Dingo and the baby. Zing, zing, zing.
When I work with comics now, it's like, I don't even care if they're funny, I just hope they're nice people, because you have to spend time with them.
I guess that's true, yeah.
Yeah, so I hope Preston Lacey's a nice guy.
Yeah, that's how, I'm sure he is. Roger said he's really nice.
Okay, cool,
guy, so.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
All right.
That'll be fun, then.
We good to wrap, gentlemen?
I think so.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
All right.
Bye.